Have you seen the price of gold lately? It's hitting all-time highs. And when it comes to investing in gold, check out Noble Gold Investments. They have a track record of excellence that's second to none. Just look at their thousands of five-star reviews on Trustpilot, Google, and the Better Business Bureau. Customers rave about their knowledgeable staff, smooth investment process, and life-changing results, which you can see for yourself online. That's the kind of reputation you can count on. But it's not just about the reviews. Noble Gold Investments truly care about their clients. They take the time to understand your unique needs and goals, and they give expert guidance every step of the way. That level of personalized service is rare in this industry. Look, when it comes to securing your financial future, you can't afford to take chances. Go with the gold company that has earned the trust of countless investors. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com/Tim Pool today and discover why Noble Gold Investments is the only choice for smart, secure gold investments. Or give them a call at 877-646-5347. Again, that number is 877-646-5347. Black Lives Matter in New York has issued a direct threat to the city that if the mayor reinstates their anti-crime unit, they will riot and there will be bloodshed. And then this individual, Hank Newsom, went on to say, it's not a threat, it's just what will happen if you do this, even though he said, we will be out on the streets, referring to himself. That context is very important because police across the country are bracing for a Kyle Rittenhouse acquittal. When Chris Hayes on MSNBC states in a monologue, after everything I've seen, I expect an acquittal in all honesty, and then changes the narrative away from Kyle Rittenhouse is an evil villain to, but do we really want to live in a gun-toting kind of society? Even the mainstream left has started to accept their narrative was wrong, they were lying, Kyle Rittenhouse was acting in self-defense, and very likely will be acquitted. Now, once again, we had an exciting day of in the trial where the prosecution was able to pull a fast one over the judge by admitting false evidence, digitally manipulated stills, because the judge and the defense didn't understand the manipulation that was being entered into evidence. The prosecution wanted to admit not a zoomed-in image, but an artificially enhanced image that uses machine learning algorithms to add information to an image. The simple way to put it, actually, Ian made a good point when we were talking about this earlier. What is being presented to the jury in this case is effectively an artist's rendition of what they think happened on that night, only they're telling the jury it's legitimate video evidence. And the defense wasn't articulate enough to explain to the judge why it shouldn't be admitted, even when the prosecution's own expert testified, I don't know how it works, and I did not compare it to the original for authenticity. It still ended up getting in, though the defense did challenge it. We'll go into all of the nitty-gritty details, but my friends, I hope you are ready for the riots, which may be coming. Now, fortunately, I believe the judge said closing arguments will be Monday. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he said Monday, which means we're not going to get a verdict or any closing arguments tomorrow. I don't believe so. We might, actually. But I don't think we'll have a verdict over the weekend. That's good news. Means there's less likely to be riots, especially if the verdict comes in on a Monday. Probably still will be riots. But we'll get into all the nitty-gritty details. Joining us today is our good friend, Daniel Turner.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me back. Daniel Turner, Power of the Future. Daniel Turner, PTF on Twitter. And I'm always happy to be here. I think this is number 10.
Yes. Yeah,
I know.
Many times.
One of our regulars,
double
man.
Double digits.
I love it.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, we got Luke chilling.
This show really likes tall white guys that are bald as well. Yeah. But, you know, whatever.
We got a type. It's
the
okay.
Shirt that I'm wearing right now says 1984. It was not an instruction manual. You could get it on thebestpoliticalshirts.com. But most importantly, I just gave LukeUncensored.com members access to Change Media University 21 tutorial how-to journalism classes, all available for free right now on LukeUncensored.com. If you haven't signed up, this is a good time to do it. Thanks for having me. I'm excited for the conversation.
Oh, I'm excited to be here with all you wonderful, amazing human beings on the other side of this technological portal. What's up? Thanks for coming.
I like your shawl.
Yes.
Thanks. It's a heating blanket. I'm going to try it out.
I like that.
Get a breeze going in here.
I love that idea. Yeah. Welcome back, my friends. Very excited to be here, too. We love having Daniel. We love having a few regulars on hand for their immaculate commentary. Thanks for coming, Daniel.
Before we get started, everybody, head over to TimCast.com, become a member. We're going to have a members-only segment coming up later tonight. We usually put this up around 11 or so p.m., but we have a massive library. So if you haven't already, you're missing out on a ton of very important and particularly important commentary episodes with some of the people you know and love, Steve Bannon, arguing about fraud, Alex Jones, all of these people over at TimCast.com. And you can easily just search for all of these members-only segments. They're usually about a half an hour long. So check it out. Be a member. Because the important thing is, as a member, what are we doing? What are we doing with your $10 when you sign up? We started two nonprofits, one to create technology so that people can't be censored, and one to fact-check the fact-checkers, to do fact-checking and hire journalists. Also, we have a newsroom, and we're hiring journalists. We're also producing cultural content like the vlog and our new show, Tales from the Inverted World, and we're also putting together a pop culture show. Why? We can't just talk about the issues and the problems. We have to create culture to inspire people towards certain kinds of ideology, certain kinds of living. So when we do the vlog, what do you see? Independent individuals, liberty-loving individuals, Gadsden flags, and we don't, you know, we don't bring up the politics. We just let people experience what life is like for those that believe in personal responsibility and hold the ideals we have. So I'll put it this way. Membership at TimCast.com is not just about supporting this show. It's about the mission, protecting liberty, supporting independence, pushing personal responsibility, telling people to take charge of their own lives, and trying to get the truth out there. Thank you for your support. Don't forget to like this video, subscribe to the channel, share the show with your friends. Let's get into that first story. My friends, I hope you are prepared. From the Daily Mail, we could have some trouble brewing. How understaffed police forces across America are bracing for Rittenhouse acquittal. Chicago cancels weekend days off as Portland, LAPD, and Washington, D.C. all monitor trial across the country. Police departments who have been under siege politically, who have lost funding, who have seen resignations and retirements, and police quitting. I believe Baltimore is understaffed by hundreds of officers. Now are bracing for the next wave of BLM Antifa riots. Why? Well, they've been set up. Over the past year, the media has lied about Kyle Rittenhouse. And the crazy thing is, if this prosecutor in the Kyle Rittenhouse case is an ideologue, I think he wants there to be a mistrial. Because he knows Kyle Rittenhouse was acting in self-defense. He knows this trial should have never happened. He knows Kyle Rittenhouse is facing an innocence verdict. So you don't get ruled innocent. But what I mean is that the jury is going to say across the board outright, not guilty on all counts, because they believe he's innocent, not just not guilty. So what's the best thing an ideologue who wants rioting can do? Sabotage the trial to such a degree that forces the judge to issue a mistrial. So the mainstream media and establishment narrative becomes there was no justice. Kyle Rittenhouse got away with it. And that's what's happening. Slate.com wrote an article saying, here's what they put. Don't blame Judge Schroeder if Kyle Rittenhouse goes free. And they show even Aaron Rupar saying it's not going well for the prosecutor. What's going to happen is, in my opinion, they'll come out and they'll say the trial was bad. The prosecutor was bad. And because of that, justice didn't occur. The system is broken. And then they will riot. I hope you guys are ready.
Well, you said if there's no justice, and what's the motto of a lot of the BLM activists? If there's no justice, right?
No peace.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And so it's almost like a mathematical certainty. How could you not expect rioting in downtown D.C. because we didn't get justice?
Or Kenosha. Think about it this way. If the jury comes back and says not guilty on all counts, it's really hard to maintain a no justice, no peace narrative, but they will. Mm. They'll still say, oh, the jurors were corrupt and the judge was biased. However,
Rodney King.
Still, if the jury comes back, a lot of people are going to be like, a jury ruled on this one. It may be the wrong verdict, but it will diffuse a lot of it. Yeah. If there's a mistrial with prejudice and Kyle can't be retried, then they're going to say the case is corrupt, the system is broken, and a white supremacist goes free.
Yeah.
I mean, if you live in a major city, you're already kind of dealing with an onslaught of a lot of violence. I mean, there's incredibly horrible stories I just tweeted about the two women who were attacked in Central Park. There was a 13-year-old girl that was also attacked in unspeakable ways in the Bronx. So if you're living in like New York City, you are already dealing with an onslaught of a huge major crime wave. In Seattle, government officials just had to hire security guards so they could be walked to the ferry. Mm-hmm. Mayor de Blasio is ducking questions about Black Lives Matter, talking about how they're going to riot. And there's going to be fire and bloodshed if they don't get their way with the policy that the next mayor wants to implement and with more police officers.
And this was because Defund the Police got the anti-crime unit removed. Mm. The anti-crime unit are plainclothes officers that literally stop crime in progress. Mm. The activists came out, said, we don't want police.
Well, crime hasn't gone up in New York in the last year and a half, so it really the crime unit, I'm being facetious. Murder is up 47% in New York City. So
grand larceny is up like 15-20%.
I was saying this earlier, like if the fact that they're saying if you put in this anti-crime unit back, we're going to kill people. It's like, that's evidence as to why we need the anti-crime unit, right? It's insane.
Let's rope it back to the Rittenhouse trial specifically. Chris Hayes comes out and he says on his show, he's changing his narrative. This is amazing. Yeah. There was a supercut, Tucker Carlson played it, where all of these mainstream outlets were like, this kid's a white supremacist who crossed state lines with an illegal weapon to hunt down Black Lives Matter civil rights activists, all fake narrative. Mm. Now that people are waking up and they're forced to reconcile this, there's a viral tweet where a woman says, I'm very perceptive, and I only just found out Kyle Rittenhouse's victims were white.
Yeah.
And all the responses are like,
I had
wait,
no idea.
What,
really? I didn't know that.
And they're all saying the same thing.
Embarrassing.
Well, because and this woman was like, my progressive bubble told me a fake, like the wrong story. Mm-hmm. So now Chris Hayes' narrative is, do we really want to live in a society where political problems are solved with guns?
Huh.
You see where he's pivoting now to, Kyle Rittenhouse will be acquitted because he has a real claim of self-defense, but this goes to show why guns are bad. Mm. That's what they're going for already.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. When leftists on Twitter, when Anna Kasparian, when Chris Hayes are now admitting Kyle Rittenhouse was acting in self-defense, or at least saying that to a great degree, an acquittal is going to happen.
Yeah. Well,
it is so obvious that they can't even deny it anymore. But you know that means riots will happen.
Well, there's other people doubling down on the insanity and the divide and conquer agenda, like MSNBC's Joy Reid, who said that the court proceedings are, quote, white privilege on steroids. Mm. Again, what does this have to do with anything about race?
I was going
to
say
all the people are white in this particular case, but there's a lot of people that are verified spreading a lot of fake news about this. There's a verified Twitter account that literally is telling people that Kyle was chasing people down and shooting them, and the tweet has gone viral, tens of thousands of likes. Not fact-checked, not corrected.
Ojeda.
Yep.
West Virginia Democrat. Mm.
Former Democrat, state Democrat.
Former.
Yeah, former. But he's still a very prominent figure and has government organization.
When he first came out publicly and said he wanted to run, a lot of people, including myself, were like, this is a moderate Democrat. This is good. The dude has gone insane.
Great. Mm.
He posted a tweet where he said, new video, bombshell video shows Kyle Rittenhouse was chasing the Rosenbaum. Literally never happened. Mm. This Democrat dude in West Virginia, of all places, posted overt lies. Why? Look, I think too often we give the benefit of the doubt to these people. Mm. Too often we're like, he must just be ignorant. At this point, I'm like, no, he wants murder and death.
Yeah.
This guy wants people to die. He is an evil mother. These people all do this. Because I will tell you this, at a certain point, I will stop giving you the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
If you have a year plus and an active trial where a major component in the case is the prosecution is criminally charging Dominic Black for supplying a firearm illegally to Kyle Rittenhouse. That is part of the proceedings, and you don't bother to even look at it. And then you make a meme where you make up fake evidence, which results in people saying, this proves Kyle Rittenhouse is a murderer. You want the destruction, you want the death, and you want people killed. Yeah. Evil people.
It is incredibly ironic that they are still doubling down on this when what happened in Kenosha happened because of media lies about Jacob Blake being a poor, innocent victim and being shot, an unarmed black man being shot by police.
He had a knife.
Yes, he literally had a knife. He just
assaulted a woman.
Mm. Yes, but the media is doubling down on this. It's going to happen again. And yeah. I'm starting to think that this is exactly what they want. It's very hard to argue anything else at this point.
Well, Tim, some would say your comments are a little bit hyperbolic about them being evil, but there is a lot of lack of empathy here, whether it's LeBron James that just tweeted to 50.3 million of his followers. Okay,
Luke. No. I'm going to stop you right there. Hyperbolic.
Richard, some would say it's hyperbolic, sure, but I'm saying they don't have any empathy, and that's the largest target that
Ojeda,
I was going on.
With 5,000 plus retweets,
yeah,
is sitting in his room, and he goes, I'm going to make up something.
Hmm.
Well, hold on there a minute. He's like, I'm going to make something up. I am going to fabricate information. Yo, tell me I'm being hyperbolic when I say it is evil to sit there and say I'm going to lie about a kid who was attacked and nearly killed.
You said that he's calling for death, and then you're saying he's just lacking empathy.
We watched.
No. I'm saying a lot of other people are lacking empathy towards this entire situation, especially during a very key emotional aspect of this, which adds to your claim, because someone just randomly hearing what you just said right now would say, oh, that's hyperbolic. But to add to your claim, there is an extensive amount of lack of empathy from a lot of higher institutions like USA Today. They wrote an opinion piece that's mind-boggling to see in one of America's biggest newspaper. They wrote a headline that said Kyle Rittenhouse deserves an award for his melodramatic performance on the witness stand.
Listen. I think at a certain point, the problem we face is that we, conservatives, libertarians, keep giving these people the benefit of the doubt every step of the way. Jacob Blake, that's his name, right? Jacob Blake is the guy. He assaults a woman.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
In her bed.
With her kids.
And her kid, and this guy tries taking a vehicle. I think he was stealing it. I'm not sure. With this woman's children in it after assaulting her. The police show up. He fights them. They tell him to stop. He grabs a knife. The cops shoot him in defense. NFL players wear his name. They put his name on their helmets. This guy assaulted a woman in her bed. If you get the drift, family-friendly show.
Mm-hmm.
He then drew a knife on the police. I'm not a big fan of the cops, particularly Kenosha cops or Chicago PD, but these are the facts. When you have people like Ojeda sitting in their room or office looking at everything going on, and he says, after all of the destruction, the 30 plus dead in the George Floyd riots, I would like to add to that fire. Mm-hmm. I would like to lie. A young man's life hangs in the balance. He went there to render aid, as did Gage Grosskreutz. And I will say to both of them, they both went down there in similar circumstances. They both went down there with guns. Arguably, well, his was literally illegal. Arguably, Kyle Rittenhouse has an exemption, but that's a matter of law. They both said they wanted to render aid. Now, one, Grosskreutz is a bit older, and he is an ideologue. Kyle Rittenhouse wanted to be a cop. He's certainly on the other end of that ideological spectrum. Chaos ensues. A man who just got out of jail in a mental hospital, who has, for lack of a better term, committed grievous crimes against children, which, again, family-friendly show. I won't get into the details about what this man did to multiple children, but let me just say some of the worst atrocities a human being could commit against a child. That guy threatens to kill and carve out the heart of Rittenhouse. And Rittenhouse runs for his life screaming, friendly, friendly, friendly. And then Rosenbaum grabs his gun after his friend, Zeminski, fires around in the air. This kid's life hangs in the balance. And Ojeda, sitting there, says, I am going to make up fake news that will rile up people who already rioted before and killed people. Tell me that's not evil.
Mm.
it's at the very least incompetence.
Absolutely. This is all designed by plan. I think there's going to be a lot of civil unrest. I think a lot of this is directed towards a divide and conquer agenda. I think this is meant to happen on purpose, and I think there's a reason why the media is acting like a fire department that's not putting out water but adding fuel to all the fires that already are out there and sparking this larger division. There's a reason Anna Kasparian of the Young Turks believed that Kaya was running after people and shooting them because of fake news that gets promoted on social media, but you dare question the narrative on social media, you get taken down. There's people that were doxxed. There's people that got fired for supporting Kyle Rittenhouse from the very beginning of this, even before the trial even began. Mm-hmm. But now, luckily, thank goodness, we're able to see a trial. We're able to see a live stream. We're able to see a side of the story that we would never see if it wasn't for the mainstream media that keeps telling a different side of the story. USA Today, Vanity Fair, all these mainstream media institutions, MSNBC takes the cake, are just literally going berserk and insane.
Now, I will give credit to PBS, Washington Post, Fox, ABC. They're running raw live streams online of this, and many, many people are watching. Also give a shout out to Rakeda Law because they've been doing these massive legal analysis live streams of the trial, which have been fantastic. And it is the mainstream media that has now begun broadcasting this stuff. But I still don't think we're getting a fair trial. I want to say a few things. The first, I want to highlight this story from TechSpot. Kyle Rittenhouse defense claims Apple's AI manipulates footage when using Pinch to Zoom. This is big. Today, the prosecutors were able to admit false evidence into the trial because the defense wasn't smart enough to explain to the judge, who also didn't understand the tech, why the images being presented were not real evidence from the night in question. And I'll point out, the judge, his phone rings. God bless the USA plays. Progressives begin demanding a mistrial. Not with prejudice, a mistrial because they want a new judge. I believe the judge's love for this country has resulted in a bias in favor of the ideological left and is a weakness suffered by libertarians and moderates and conservatives that we keep saying we will uphold our values for those seeking to destroy them. The other day, Jack Murphy asked me if I thought, based on that argument, the 9/11 hijackers should get a fair trial. And I said, of course. And I think an easier way to explain this is when you have a prosecutor and a defense who both believe in the values of innocent until proven guilty, we're good. But when the prosecution believes in power by any means necessary to destroy our values, the judge should not tolerate that because they're seeking to subvert our law and order. Which brings me to what happened in today's case. So here's the story, right? The defense basically said, and I made fun of them for this, and I take it back. I apologize for mocking them. He said, you know, the Apple uses a 3D AI logarithm to create an image. And I'm like, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Now, I do think I was right to be critical of them because their inability to articulate the problem resulted in the prosecution being able to actually admit this evidence, albeit in a limited structure. I want to explain something very simple to people. Optical zoom is when a lens on a camera changes the focal point and you can see further and further away. Optical zoom is legitimate zoom. In fact, when the defense argued that pinch to zoom, digital enhancement, is an AI, they weren't wrong. They just articulated it poorly. The judge ordered the prosecution to bring in an expert to testify that this evidence is legitimate. The expert who came in said it is not zooming. When you enlarge, it is different. The problem was the defense did not know how to say very simply to the judge in their arguments, a pinch to zoom image is an artificially created image that does not represent the night in question. It is effectively a computer rendering, creating information that did not originate from the original night in question. It's that simple. Let me give you a breakdown from a random Reddit user, because there's a thread about this on r/technology. I do think this is relevant. This Reddit user says, I have no dog in this fight, but I am a hobbyist computer vision enthusiast. This is very simple and very important. Zooming in on images makes them bigger, not clearer. Mm-hmm. To make them clearer, you have to add information that wasn't there before. Interpolation. There are many ways to add information, and that information added will change depending on what method is used. That added information absolutely can be misleading. and it is not necessarily indicative of reality. The computer is essentially trying to guess what pixels would fit in the gaps, and making a guess that is an accurate reflection of reality is not a trivial problem. Many algorithms are only designed to look good and be fast. The onus is on the prosecution to justify the accuracy of the information they added to the evidence when they used Apple's zoom method. If they can't do that, then they need to present the video with no added information. I could not believe when I watched this testimony, because the defense was like, now when we enhance this, there's new pixels, right? And the expert goes, yes. And he goes, and what color are they? And he goes, similar colors. But you don't know what colors are supposed to be there. And he goes, I'm not an expert on how the algorithm works. And I'm like, defense, please stop talking about pixels and colors. That is neither here nor there. It's quite simple. Here's what I would ask of the expert. The enhanced image you provided us, is it 100% accurate information that was originating from the night in question? And his answer would be no. So my question then is, the image you are presenting is not an image from the night in question. No, it has added information that came from somewhere else. Where did it come from? My computer lab a week ago. Then I would say to the judge, this image is not of the night in question, therefore should not be evidence because it doesn't come from the night in question. They couldn't just say that in 10 seconds. He was trying to argue about pixels and colors and is it purple? Should it be purple? Why shouldn't it be purple? And I'm like, what are you telling people? And the judge was confused and the prosecutor goes, Your Honor, they're trying to take advantage of your lack of your ignorance, with all due respect, of technology to pull a fast one on you and make you not understand this is legitimate evidence. It's simple. The photo admitted into evidence is not a photo of August 25th, 2020. Period. The prosecution is cheating, they're lying, and they're getting away with it. Why? Because the judge is a good guy. Because the judge believes that, you know, we have to have this system, even after the judge has said, you are not acting in good faith. He allows them.
He said that, I don't believe you. I'm acting in good faith. He's like, I don't believe you when you say that.
I had a tweet last year where I said that the Kyle Rittenhouse case convinced me to vote for Donald Trump. Donald Trump pinned that tweet to his account, the only pinned tweet. He liked it, which meant if you go to his account and click likes, only my tweet was there, my thread explaining what's going on with Kyle Rittenhouse, where I basically explained the Democrats, the establishment corporate press have lied to such a degree I fear for my future when they can accuse you falsely of a crime and then destroy your life over it.
Them.
And that we need active resistance to this, even if it means voting for Donald Trump. The media, pushing their lies, took that and tried to falsely represent what I was saying and what I was supporting, and started claiming that people like me and Rittenhouse were supporting overt white supremacists who were hunting down black people.
There you go.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
That is the epitome of evil.
Yeah.
And the prosecutor in this case does not believe in the Constitution. He's already violated on more than one occasion. Today, he was questioning Drew Hernandez, who we've had on the show, who was a direct fact witness who watched this happen and said, you retained the lawyer, therefore you're biased. And the judge snapped at him. What's the relevance here? The judge by now should realize the prosecutor is not playing by the rules and seeks only to gain power. These people are evil. And I think if we keep ignoring the fact, these people, their worldview is comprised of destruction. They don't want to make the world a better place.
Right.
They don't want justice. They want to watch the world burn. And they want to steal while they do it.
That's too simplistic. It's too much like Cobra Commander. Saying that they're evil is kind of vague because it's different strokes for different folks. They're going to call you evil. It's just vague. Like, I don't think his intention is to destroy everything. I think he believes he's doing good, but he's going about it poorly.
I think you are too naive. We're going to get into this in a second, but let me just stress that Hank Newsom of Black Lives Matter said, "We will riot and there will be bloodshed if you try and bring police back in to stop crime."
I think your t-shirt is what's explaining the whole thing, and I tweeted a couple hours ago, there is a direct parallel, I think, and a huge correlation between the Kyle Rittenhouse trial, between Russiagate, between what I deal with and the climate change stuff.
Ukraine gate.
Your agenda is more important than facts, than more important than ethics, more important than laws, the Constitution, procedures. Your agenda is X, and I have to uphold this agenda. And so if I have to go through this process, I don't care if evidence says there's no climate change. I don't care if evidence says Donald Trump didn't have European hookers pee on his... Like, I don't care any of that stuff. I need this result. I need this to be the result. So all this other stuff you're talking about, the niceties of procedural, that just is in my way. I will dismiss that absolutely effortlessly. That's what the gulags
are. That's what they're doing.
Yep. Right? I will dismiss all that because I need this conclusion.
Mm-hmm. Let's make a cultural analogy here. You know I love doing that. Ian, are zombies evil?
According to Dungeons and Dragons, yes, they are. Let's
go with it. So I would actually say it's fair to say zombies aren't evil.
I think that's a fair
They're mindless. Yeah. They're mindless drones. So when you have a bunch of people who are mindless, they're destroying, they're destructive, they are used. I don't think the run-of-the-mill Antifa and Black Lives Matter extremist rioter are evil. I think many of them are criminals. Not all of them, but many of them. I'm talking about the rioters, not protesters. It's like what we saw in Kenosha. They have passed domestic abuse things. So they abused children in extreme ways. And it's because these are the dregs of society who are angry and dejected. And they're actively criminals, or sometimes they're mentally unwell and they commit this violence. I don't think they're evil. However, is the necromancer evil?
Almost undoubtedly, yes. And the zombie lord would be evil.
The Lich King.
The one controlling the zombies, yes.
Yes.
So the Lich King, who knows he is plaguing people with the zombie virus and rot and raising corpses from the dead for the purpose of gaining power, is evil. So when you look at ADA Binger, he's not a zombie. The zombies are the rioters. No, he's a necromancer.
Yeah. Right. Now, I don't know what you nerds are talking about, but I think that really evil guy is the mainstream media and big tech social media that are also spinning the webs here, because when you look at the larger institutions, it's not just some crazy people on Twitter. There's another element here of social media interrupting, injecting, and making sure that only one voice is heard here, that one delusion mindset is spread here, and that, of course, is the mainstream corporate authoritative, quote, authoritative voices that get promoted here. What do those voices do? Well, they either obfuscate or promote violence. And when you look at it from that kind of aspect, when you see the real life harm that happened to this country a year and a half ago, the last summer, you see how many people died. You saw how many people lost their businesses. You saw entire cities go up in flames, and the mainstream media cheered it on, said it was mostly peaceful. The social media promoted all of these things, helped people organize for them. When you look at it from
Kamala
that
Harris
kind of perspective,
bails them out.
Yeah, Kamala Harris, literally the most unpopular vice president ever in American history, more unpopular than Dick Cheney, who shot his friend in the face.
Yes, true.
Emmanuel Macron, the Rothschild banker, doesn't even want to kiss her, and he kisses everybody.
True.
Why are you lowering my mic for, Lydia? I'm watching you.
I gotta say it again. Dick Cheney literally shot his
friend in the face,
and his approval rating was higher than Kamala Harris.
It's true. Yeah.
Up my microphone. The top establishment institutions, the power that be, controlled by, of course, a lot of the corporate billionaire class, literally having their narrative, literally having their agenda, and their agenda is chaos. Order out of chaos, divide and conquer. It's exactly what's happening right now. It's textbook. It's what happened before. It happened with 9/11. It happened with the war on drugs, the war on terror. Now we have a war on COVID. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to have a war on equity. All of this is going to repeat the same way until we wake up and see the larger con game being played against us.
The West Virginia Democrat, did Twitter ever... say he was sharing misinformation.
No. Makes it up.
You know, be curious to see if your millions of followers, if anyone has ever seen a tweet that was about from the left of the Rittenhouse case that Twitter said this is misinformation.
No, of course not.
I mean, I know the answer to that, but it's fascinating, isn't it?
He took a still frame from a video where Kyle Rittenhouse was being attacked
and then
posted it. And maybe he didn't make this information, but he posted it. And I'm not going to assume anyone else made it up. He posted it, and it said that Rittenhouse was attacking Rosenbaum. These people don't look for evidence. The zombies, you can't reason with a zombie. You look at the moderates, the intellectual dark web, the politically homeless, and the conservatives, and for some reason, they're all willing to actually watch videos and look at the evidence.
The funny thing about all of them is that the politicians who engage in this, because I know when he was a candidate for president, Biden tweeted about Rittenhouse. I know all the members of the squad did. Every politician chimed in. They all used the white supremacy thing. It is zombie-esque that they all echoed the same talking point. It is amazing, though, that they all had to immediately go to race because they know that's what gets everyone excited. Because that has nothing to do with race. It's white people shooting and getting shot at by white people.
Yep.
It was in the midst of Black Lives Matter. But I mean, everything is now in the midst of Black Lives Matter. This is in the midst of Black Lives Matter. They rule the country.
I don't think the race thing is going to play up for much longer. I think it's been breaking down because people don't understand it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, initially everybody was averse to racism. Like we all abhor it. It's bad. But now it's to the point where, you know, even Bill Maher is like, what are you talking about? Yeah. Like a black woman, lieutenant governor, is a white supremacist?
Winston Sear is the black face of white supremacy in Virginia.
Seriously. I want to throw it to our good friend, LeBron James.
Oh, gosh.
Let's call out these evil people. LeBron James mocks Kyle Rittenhouse's courtroom breakdown. What tears? Knock it off. I'll be quick with this one. Here's his tweet. USA Today said Kyle Rittenhouse broke down in tears at his murder trial while on the witness stand as he described the events of August 25th, 2020 in Kenosha. LeBron James says, what tears, followed by 5 question marks. I didn't see one. Man, knock it off. That boy ate some lemon heads before walking into court. Here's a Getty photograph of a tear on Kyle Rittenhouse's face.
Huh.
I watched it happen. It took me 2 seconds to Google search a high-resolution image from the Daily Beast, left-wing publication, by the way, where you can literally see the tear coming out of Kyle Rittenhouse's eye. He was having a panic attack, and he was crying. And it was real. And people like LeBron James don't care about truth. He didn't do a simple Google search. He didn't take 5 seconds. He doesn't care. Listen, it has been a decade. The culture war has been mob mentality. I watched it happen to Luke. When we were in Hamburg, Germany, Luke was walking down the street and a random person screamed Nazi Schweinhund, and random people who've never seen Luke in their life got up and ran up and started punching him in the head. That is what we are dealing with.
I was like, I'm Polish, you son of a gun. Like, this is not, you're German, I'm Polish. My family literally died through your freaking people killing my people. I had great-grandparents died in there
in the,
as well.
In the video.
That's crazy, that story.
There are people sitting on a curb.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden someone yells, Nazi Schweinhund, and points at Luke. And they get up and start punching Luke.
They're just looking for a fight.
They don't know who he is. They don't know what he represents. They don't know what he's doing. They don't care. And that's what LeBron James is. Yeah. That's what the rioters are. And that's what Gage Grosskreutz was. He was a guy who said, don't know, don't care, I'm going to attack this person.
Well, there was a major mainstream journalist. I'm not going to deflect too much here, but there was a major mainstream journalist in Germany that sent out my picture to everyone saying, he's someone you got to target and attack. And people just blindly followed it without even understanding my background, my history, my lineage. But that's another story.
Tim, I disagree. Real quick, let me say. To go back to the earlier reference, the journalist who posted Luke's photo is like the necromancer in the analogy. Yeah. Necromancers raise the dead and raise the zombies, and then the zombies attacked Luke. People who had no idea, they're mindless hordes. They just attacked him because someone told them to.
Now, I disagree with you with your take on LeBron. I think his judgment is great, especially when it came to Jussie Smollett. He knew that the attack on him was authentic. He's a great character.
Judge of character.
Loves China.
And he loves China. And his take on the Jussie Smollett thing is the complete opposite of what he's doing here. He has 50.3 million followers tweeting that kind of unethical, what's the word that I'm looking for?
Unhinged.
And not just unhinged, but it, just uncaring kind of words towards this entire situation. Mm. It, him being a thought leader, him being a major leader for a lot of culture, really is pushing this to the. It's not as bad as Joy Reid, but it's pushing it to that kind of scenario, pushing it towards that situation. And for someone to mock someone when they're going through clear signs of PTSD, it's very untasteful, and it leads to this kind of immoral kind of behavior that only escalates things even further from here.
Hmm. I, from LeBron's hometown, I feel like in another universe we're pretty good friends, but he has a lot of compassion, but not a lot of intellect. Hmm. Bronny, love you, man, but
he's a bad guy.
He's just too powerful for a normal guy.
Look, I think you can't be 18 and be told you're the chosen one and get that tattoo on your back and be it's the same as the Kardashians. It's the same as a lot of our elected officials. I think we have too much of a worship culture, and these people do begin to believe that they are that much smarter, that much. Look, Barack Obama thinks he's the smartest person in the world because people have told him that. You listen to one of his policies and they're atrocious. You see it in evidence. Joe Biden thinks he's one of the smartest people in the world because he's been told that. I've been in the Senate for 60-something years. And LeBron is probably the same way. It's amazing. Celebrities, you know, Bruce Springsteen thinks he has insights. What does Bill Gates know about science? The guy's a coder.
No, he's not.
And yet he's he's a tech.
He's a businessman.
He's a businessman.
He bought programs and sold them.
There you go.
I'm sure he understands some.
He probably understands some, but now he's talking about agriculture policy and healthcare policy. It's like, dude, shut up. You don't know everything. I know you're rich, but shut up. You don't know everything. But these people do begin to think they know everything. That's LeBron's problem.
I'll throw this to the left. There is an honest and good critique in. Just because someone knows how to make money does not mean they should wield power over policy in other positions.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
George Soros is single-handedly contributing to the downfall in this country when he dumps money into various foundations that get district attorneys elected who stop prosecuting crime, and then crime escalates. Just because he knows how to do hedge fund whatever and bet on stocks doesn't mean he knows how to run policy. And so what ends up happening in our system, for better or for worse, is that people make tons of money from one thing they might be good at, and then use that money to influence things they know nothing about.
Hmm.
Now, I don't know what the solution is, because I don't think communism is a better outcome, just randomly giving power to people. But I certainly think there's a problem of Bill Gates buying the DOS operating system from someone for $50,000, then licensing it to IBM at $1 per computer, which makes him rich. And now, all of a sudden, he's a vaccine expert.
Damn.
Buying farmland.
Yeah,
Bill Gates can come out and make a statement, and the media and big tech will allow whatever he says. Who is he to make medical judgments? He has no idea. He's not a doctor.
Thomas Sowell calls this kind of person who's good at one thing the benighted, because these are people who can make these choices and who suffer zero consequences if this doesn't pan out. But I wanted to ask you guys, do you think that LeBron James is like the necromancer, or is he like one of the zombies?
Zombie.
I feel like he's somewhere in between because he has so many followers.
He's
right?
Here's a better way to put it.
Zombie giant lord.
Maybe. Yeah. But I think a better way to put it is when the Khaleesi's dragon fell down beyond the wall, and then the White Walker rose the dragon from the dead and became a lich dragon. Like, very powerful, but still a zombie.
Yeah. Mm.
People, I think, can phase between zombie lord and zombie.
Yeah.
And you can reason with the zombie lord. You can't reason with the zombie. So if you catch Henry Kissinger on the street and you directly ask him a question, he's going to have a hard time lying because he's not in that state of dissonance all the time.
Luke knows this.
Yeah.
So a lot of your work is fascinating because you've found these people in their weak spots and get them to say things that you're like, the zombies are already blockaded from that truth.
Remember Donald Rumsfeld?
Yeah. Well, we ran
a
leak
about everything. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. No. When he gave a press conference on that exact same issue, and we just asked him another question about that. But a lot of these people, you know, when they're just zombies, they're just, you know, there's really no getting through them. There's really no kind of hope for them for a lot of people. That's the kind of larger ideas when we're talking about zombies. I don't think that's the case here. I think some people act like zombies, but I think there's also a chance for a lot of people to wake up, because at some points I think all of us were zombies. I think all of us were inundated at some point to be completely blind to NPCs, another reality, NPCs, yeah. and totally unaware, and totally by, you know, played by the fiddle by the mainstream media that was telling us narratives that we previously believed.
We can not fall everybody. Back into it. Yeah. That's the danger. People can slip back into zombification if you're not vigilant.
But not everybody. I mean, Luke, you have a long history of constantly challenging government officials, and I mean, you were a teenager yelling at, you know, these government actors and stuff like that. There are a lot of people who have always questioned and challenged, but I do think it's fair to say there are a lot of people who are waking up to this. There, Anna Kasparian.
Yeah,
I will say nothing but respect in this moment that she said I was wrong. Mm-hmm. She looked at the evidence. She was in a bubble.
She's an angel now.
Mm. She saw the truth.
The white fire of purity burned Lord. Her zombie skin away and created an angel. So many characters in this.
A little too much.
Magic all the way.
I'm not going to say that.
But I think again, I'm still stuck on your t-shirt. I mean, you look at the course of not even all of history, just the last 150 years. I mean, Chairman Mao watched 100 million people die because he had this ideology that he had to implement. And I'm sure people were like, but my whole family, my whole village, they're all dead. And he was like, yeah, but you know, like, it's sad. Yeah. I think this West Virginia, I forget his name. I think they see the West Virginia, the Kenosha riots. I see they think this is kind of necessary. Like these are, it's unfortunate. It's the same as the people who said, we can't let Donald Trump win. So we have to say hydroxychloroquine is deadly because if you die from your lung fluid, sorry, but we have a greater agenda.
Human beings have a problem where they assume everyone thinks the way they think. And so one of the problems you'll see on the right is that people on the right have consistently said things like, why would anyone want injustice in this trial? Like, they genuinely don't understand why leftists are doing what they do. Yeah. I saw a really important tweet, though, from a progressive leftist journalist who said something to the effect of Kyle Rittenhouse and his supporters stand in the way of racial transformative justice and blah, 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 blah. The point was, this is where I was like, I understand their worldview. When Black Lives Matter rioters, even child abusers like Rosenbaum, burn down buildings and beat people to death, let's just not say in this particular instance of the Rosenbaum, not to death, but in Kenosha, bashed a 70-year-old man over the back of the head with a rock, leaving him bleeding on the ground, burning down his building. They view that as the path towards racial justice. We think, but they're reckless and they're criminals. They see it as, we gotta burn down these buildings. And you're standing in our way because you're evil. What we, independents, libertarians, classical liberals, conservatives need to understand is they don't view riots and murder as injustice. They view that as the necessary path towards racial equity. Mm-hmm. We view that as, I don't understand why they would cause harm this way. Freedom Tunes has a very great cartoon they just put out. Seamus, big fan and good friend of the show.
Yes.
Where it's two people talking to a leftist. And he says, family-friendly show, by the way, the man who abused children. In this instance, you know, why are you defending him? And the leftist is like, that poor man. And they're like, why would you support someone who does this? And then the joke is, Seamus in the cartoon says, this guy kind of looks like Voldemort. And then the leftist goes, and then thinks of Kyle Rittenhouse as Harry Potter or whatever. That joke, while I agree is funny, doesn't understand, in my opinion, how the left perceives Rosenbaum and the Kenosha riots. They're not supporting a child abuser. They're supporting burning down buildings and destroying American institutions as necessary for justice. They think it is lawful good. That's what they genuinely believe, lawful good, to burn down and destroy things. Because they live in a different moral framework.
That's the problem with the paladin, man. Lawful good obsession can lead you astray. If you think something's evil when it's not, you go full bore into destroying it.
Yep.
That is a very dangerous way to live.
This is 100%, I think, because they are ideologues. Their overarching idea is over everything. And this is where the saying, you have to break a few eggs to make an omelet, comes from, in my understanding. This is something where you have to sacrifice a few children, a few people whose lungs fill up with fluid. Doesn't really matter because you're getting your end goal. And that's all they're going for.
Let's bring it back. Black Lives Matter from the New York Post.
Oh, boy.
BLM leader threatens riots, fire, and bloodshed. If New York City, if Eric Adams gets tough on crime, specifically, Eric Adams, the new mayor, says he wants to bring back a new version of what's called the anti-crime unit. These are officers who dress in plain clothes and stop crime in progress and get illegal guns off the streets. I'm going to pause for a second. I don't believe they should be getting quote unquote illegal guns off the street, because if you want to change Second Amendment, you can go for Second Amendment. If New York wants to have unconstitutional laws about guns, then they need to change the constitution of this country. That being said, an anti-crime unit actively will stop a crime in progress. And they do. And since the dissolution of this unit last year, I believe, crime has been skyrocketing. Mm.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The response from Black Lives Matter. Let me read you this quote. He says, if they think they're going back to the old ways of policing, then we're going to take to the streets again, says Hank Newsom. There will be riots, there will be fire, and there will be bloodshed, he threatened. He goes on to say, to ignore that history and say you're bringing it back means that he's tone deaf. Now, they do go on to say, and, you know, the BLM letter said he was troubled Adams didn't offer a comment on police reform. He wouldn't offer us anything concrete. Quote, I am not threatening anyone. I am just saying that it's a natural response to aggressive oppression. People will react. Now,
it's not natural response, but.
Well, I have defended Hank Newsom before. Mm-hmm. He's the guy who showed up to a MAGA rally and shook hands and took photos of Trump supporters and tried to bridge that gap and made comments about how he loves America. And he's also appeared in documentaries where he's talked about his concerns, and I respect him and his concerns. But to come out and say, we're going to take to the streets and there will be riots, fire, and bloodshed is you saying your actions will lead to death or injury, maiming, fire, and rioting. Then to come out and go, it's not a threat. It's just the natural outcome. It's like, dude, you are overtly telling us that if we try to bring back policing because crime is skyrocketing, you're going to try and kill people.
Hmm. Yeah, and the sad thing about being a native New Yorker and knowing the city very, very well, the neighborhoods where the crime has skyrocketed are not the rich white neighborhoods.
Right.
Right, like it's predominantly the minority neighborhoods, which have always been sadly more dangerous and have had more crime, but were the ones that had the most improvement.
Well, actually,
and so these are the ones that are suffering the most.
I got to stop you there. Actually, Upper West Side crime has been skyrocketing.
All the city
that's the rich area.
All the city is definitely headed in the wrong direction. But I mean, there are whole neighborhoods in New York where the crime unit focused on, because that's where a lot of the crime was. And again, why is a lot of the crime there? Government. That's where government built all the projects. You know, these enormous 1950s, 1960s, 20-story projects that were built by government. And let's put all these people here. They created these bad neighborhoods.
What they did, I did a documentary on this, is when the government created project housing, they took all of the city's poor people and centralized them. And then they stopped funding the buildings, causing poverty and disrepair.
Jeez.
So you have people who are already impoverished seeking help. Centralized now in one location, and then you stop funding the building, which causes them to live in squalor and desperation, and now you've created a major hub of crime.
Yeah.
Because poverty breeds crime.
And you destroyed their schools.
Yep.
Yep.
Right? And they have no school choice. And so
and
now
the policies
we have
they put in play.
Generation after generation after generation, born and raised.
Irrespective of race, the policies put in place in these cities by Democrats have destroyed the family. Black Lives Matter overtly says they want to disrupt the nuclear family, which results in young individuals growing up to be violent and typically getting arrested or convicted of crimes.
Yeah, there's a big conversation to have about fatherless homes and the socioeconomic impacts on cities when it comes to pushing that. And it's pushed not just by the government. It's pushed socially by social media. It's pushed by Hollywood. It's pushed. It's in commercials. It's in movies. But the larger point here is the mayor, the current mayor, Bozo the Clown, de Blasio, was asked about this specific issue, this kind of specific veiled threat, and he ignored it. He decided not to even answer. He dodged questions about this very specific issue. Eric Adams is taking over for him as the mayor of New York City, and he has campaigned on this particular promise. Will he back down? Will he implement it? Well, it's going to be very interesting. Eric Adams also said he was going to look at the vaccine mandates in New York City, which obviously make the situation that much worse, especially for blacks in New York City, which are going to be discriminated against even more. Mm-hmm. There's going to be less economic opportunities for blacks in New York City because of this vaccine mandate. Eric Adams said that he looked at this vaccine mandate, but is still going to be implementing it and still going to be following through with Bozo the Clown de Blasio's policy and setting up this form of domestic passport discrimination system where you have to have your identification and a vaccine card everywhere you go in New York City.
I just got mine tattooed on my arm. It's a lot easier. I just have them show it.
Just get the barcode on your forehead.
Yeah, the interesting thing about Eric Adams when he takes over is that New York is in such a terrible state that it will be so evident if he's making progress. Mm-hmm. Like it won't be this ethereal, are we doing better than you were 4 years? Like it will be so clear. Murder is here. Crime is here. Yeah. Homeless is here. Defecation on the street is here. Like his metrics are really, really easy to define.
They could have voted for Curtis Sliwa.
Yeah.
The Guardian Angel guy. Yeah. And he had a good campaign. If people want to vote for the same thing over and over again, then
Interesting. Eric Adams campaigned on being tough on crime, on bringing the city back and helping the police. So will he implement it based on these threats? Well, it's going to be interesting to see, but I don't have a lot of hope.
De Blasio, our own mayor, when I lived in D.C. for however many years, and I'm now thankfully gone. If you are a mayor and you are watching the Rittenhouse trial and you're hearing these things come out saying, if this verdict is not the way we want it, we will be rioting. How do you not have a task force to say, if you think I am friggin' putting up with this again? Like plywood on every single building, like this time you're not rioting. Because it happened in Kenosha, and it's terrible what happened in Kenosha. Not good, not bad. It's terrible what happened. It was Kenosha. It wasn't downtown D.C. So you don't get to burn down a Starbucks in D.C. because you are pissed off about equity 700 miles away. Sorry.
They deployed how many? What, 25,000 National Guard to D.C. over January 6th?
Yeah.
And when we have Black Lives Matter for over 100 days in Portland, nothing. Yeah. And that was Trump
who did
nothing.
Eric, what is this guy's name? Hank Newsom. Is this do you think this warrants a meeting with the FBI, like an FBI agent being like, hey, Hank, what did you mean by that statement?
Yeah, and then they give him the paycheck for helping organize and organize.
At the very least, visit him and ask him what he meant.
The FBI had evidence of Kenosha they did not give to the defense.
How can the FBI possibly interview him when they're too busy going to James O'Keefe?
What concerns me is that is going to repeat.
They got journalists.
That's right. They have people to arrest.
A lot of the provocateurs, they're usually on their payroll.
Yeah.
That's usually the case.
They've got the governor of Michigan to kidnap. Mm-hmm. The FBI has January 6th to start.
In a way, if there's civil unrest, then it gives the FBI a reason to get more funding, to create more military paramilitary organizations that they can then go secret police and
Now if Mr. Newsom said that he thinks he saw a noose hanging from his garage like Bubba Watson, the FBI will be on that. They will send 16 agents within hours
to go investigate to protect the prince.
Juicy Smoulier.
That's Dave Chappelle who made that joke.
That's a good joke.
Good dude, huh?
Well, the FBI should be visiting this guy and asking him why he said he and his cohorts are going to light fires and draw blood.
Yeah, you just don't get blood. I mean, all of the riots, we will always look back at that with a bizarre spectatorship. And talking to my parents, who were obviously considerably older, they talked about the 68 riots and how they said they would watch it on TV and say, what the heck is happening right now? And how come it seems so out of our control? And there is some sociological truth about mobocracy. But when it is being predicted right now, like, oh, there's a trial, closing testimonies on Monday, Tuesday night, boys, we got to start. No. Like, you don't get to do this again. We're finally coming out of the summer of love. And the fact that it's being presented this way.
Like, does the New York state government have any recourse to go visit Hank's house and be like, hey, what did you mean by this?
You see, the reason
we're going to detain you for a little bit and ask. No.
First of all, the guy just said, he didn't make a direct threat towards a person or to commit an action, so I don't think there's any actual.
But he's like a ringleader of an organization, and he said, "We are going to."
That's right. Mm. The issue is,
did
he
say that literally?
We are going to take to the streets. Mm. There will be riots, and fire, and bloodshed.
Like, hey, what do you mean we're going to? He's like, oh, I mean, it's just the natural order of things that is gonna.
It doesn't
like,
make
dude,
it.
But you can't manifest that and not take responsibility for that.
I want to use my favorite logical. Assessment or whatever you want to call it. Ian, do you think that Dave Rubin would ever lead a mob of angry riding classical liberals with torches and crowbars to smash up windows and attack people?
No, but if it happened
now,
in the
do you
future,
think Antifa would?
Well, that's not an individual, but I've seen the people from that organization.
Well, do you think this guy who's threatened to do it,
that guy would be way more likely, I would think, than Dave Rubin. Yeah.
So it's very simple. The police are probably thinking, if I kick in the door, let's play a game. Do you think there's ever a circumstance in which James O'Keefe will take crowbars, bats, and a horde of angry actual journalists to the streets to smash up mainstream media headquarters?
No, very unlikely.
Very unlikely.
Very,
impossible.
Very unlikely. Yeah.
Never going to happen.
I can't say never, but, you know.
And do you think that there's it is more likely or probable that Hank Newsom will lead a riot of Black Lives Matter and Antifa activists to cause fires and bloodshed?
As he just said he was going to or alluded to that, then yes. Yes,
and
I
so
do believe that, actually.
Who do you think the feds are more afraid of?
Hank.
Oh, yeah.
Right. They know that if they arrest James O'Keefe, the worst thing that'll happen is they'll get a finger wagging. Hmm. We'll complain. We'll say this is a violation of our constitutional rights. There may be a lawsuit, but for the most part, they'll be safe and fine. But they know that if they enter into a Black Lives Matter riot to try and put charge on this guy, their lives will actually be at risk by violent rioters and criminals. Now, I want all these people to be safe. I don't want anyone to get hurt. I don't care if they're a rioter. I don't care if they're, you know, the law enforcement needs to be safe as they do their job. But it's clear to me that the federal law enforcement and law enforcement in general has consistently taken the path of least resistance. That is, it is much easier to go to a NASCAR garage where there's a pull rope than it is to actually go and arrest, say, like the Russiagate hoaxers. Why? Well, they're politically powerful and they have resources. It's much easier to throw James O'Keefe against the wall while he's partially clothed and steal his phone because they know James O'Keefe will simply take it to the courts. And they know that if they go up against violent rioters who are willing to fight law enforcement, they could get hurt. Mm. So they don't go up against what's more difficult. And police do the same thing.
If they're not going to defend the people because they don't want to get hurt, then they shouldn't be the defenders of the people.
Of course not.
Bing, bing, bing. Yeah. You nailed it.
But Christopher Wray will say at a press conference that we will do a thorough investigation to determine why we let this man rape like seven of our gymnasts over the course of 10 years and never once, you know, although those poor girls, the American gymnasts, they were like, the FBI, we brought this to you year after year. Yeah. And he was like, we will need to determine what happened.
Investigate ourselves.
I got the story for you guys. No, from timcast.com. LAPD tells residents to cooperate and comply with robbers amid rise in burglaries.
There you go. Wow.
I want you to imagine two societies, one in which everyone, for the most part, is armed and unwilling to comply, period. Criminals would be like, there's no point in trying to rob this person. They'll scream, they'll attack me, and my life will be at risk. Now I want you to imagine another society in which the government tells everyone, do whatever you're told and you're not allowed to be armed. Well, now the criminals know you will do nothing to me and you can't.
Yeah. That's literally like Clockwork Orange, where you've got these robbers and people are just comply with them just because they're afraid that the situation will get worse.
My mentality has always been, growing up in Chicago, if anyone comes near me, I will make sure they understand it will be a very bad day. Hmm. And they might take my stuff. They might win in a fight against me. But I'll tell you this. There's a guy across the street who will drop to his knees and beg you. I will swing at you. Hmm. So leave me alone. Hmm. And you know what? Growing up in Chicago, with all the violence and the shootings and everything, so I've only been, there was only one time someone tried mugging me. And I told him to shove off, and he threatened me, and I laughed. Plainclothes anti-crime police then emerged out of nowhere, true story, grabbed the guy and screamed in his face. I could have, as soon as the guy walked up to me, just been like, just take everything from me, take my wallet, my phone, and, you know, and I didn't have any money anyway. But no, I just kept walking, and I laughed, and I was like, you're an idiot. I was like, I don't have any money anyway. And he was like, yo, I got a knife. And I was like, oh, and I'm just making fun of him. And then if I didn't keep walking, I don't know if the cops would have seen him and caught him.
Yeah.
If I stood there in, you know, on the street corner in it was a dark out, maybe he would have pulled a weapon or whatever. But I ignored him and I said, you ain't getting nothing from me, dude. And then I this is another reason why I think police are a good thing when done properly is three cops, a plainclothes officer, walked up and grabbed him and slammed him up against a fence and screamed, not in my town. And wow. I was like, whoa.
Jeez.
Apparently he had seen the guy earlier harassing women and they were keeping an eye on him. So good on the cops. I think my attitude has always been, be it Antifa or anybody, if you want the path of least resistance to terrorize someone and rob them, it ain't going to be me.
Yeah. Well, that headline is what we were saying right before the show started. And you prefaced at the beginning of your the show. They use our values against us, and our values are, let's not hurt these poor people. They're robbing for a reason, right? We have to understand what their plight is, and let's just comply. Let's get along. Our values of sensibility, of society, of goodness, of whatever you want to label it, Christian or not, they use those values against us. And that is the weakest thing a society could do, is to let your values be turned against you for your own destruction.
Mm-hmm. Do you know they did a study where they took convicted criminals, violent offenders, muggers, robbers, burglars, rapists, etc., and they showed them images of people walking. And they said, rate the likelihood you would target this person for a mugging. Mm. And they all did. And you know what they found? The people that were chosen by the criminals had typically been attacked before. They found that the way you carry yourself, if you present weakness, or you're distracted, makes you more likely to be targeted. So if you're walking upright, shoulders, you know, up.
Squared.
Shoulders squared, head straight up, walking firm and confidently, they leave you alone, not even by conscious thought. Yeah. Their subconscious is like, this person's going to be a problem for me.
Well, it's like lions hunting. And you know, I knew some criminals in New York City. It was like they could sense someone's weakness. They preyed on people's weakness. And I had different responses with the police. I mean, there was many times I got jumped a couple times. I knew other people got jumped. A lot of times the police officers just kind of like rolled by and didn't do nothing. And I'm like, I'm getting the crap beat out of me by all these people. And I had a number of these incidences. But imagine being a police officer, I mean, being a criminal in Los Angeles right now.
Reading this
being like, this is open season. Yes. Like, this is great. Like, yes.
That's been happening. Like, do you see the video? There's the video from San Francisco where the guy goes in the Walgreens with a garbage bag on his bike and he's just shoveling stuff in.
Loading stuff in. Women
who go to the makeup section and they're shoveling it all in. Or in Connecticut, you see this video? They go in the store and they load up three shopping carts and just walk out with it. And then you hear someone say, don't do it, Jim. You'll get fired.
What?
Jeez. You tell criminals that no one will do anything against them when they commit crimes, they're going to be like, okay.
This is what I don't get about the San Francisco thing. Why did they announce it that they weren't going to be prosecuted?
They're announcing this.
This is open season for average people that can't defend themselves, as of course they have to jump through hoops to even be able to have a firearm.
Like this I get because it's kind of like a public broadcast. They want everyone in LA to know. But the San Francisco thing, why wouldn't they just keep it like, hey, by the way, we are going to prosecute you, just so you know, and then just not do it? So at least there was like this.
Yo, because they're on the side of the criminals. Because they believe the path to racial justice is the destruction of this country.
Reparations.
If law enforcement is thinking that way,
it's the Watchmen.
Let me explain something.
It's the Watchmen. You need to have destruction in order to be able to rebuild.
Well, so it's actually quite simple. I remember the old conspiracy theory about the Amero. Do you guys remember this? Amero? Luke, you remember the Amero, right?
Yep.
It's like a North American currency.
It never happened. But the idea was that, you know, Canada's got the Canadian dollar, the American dollar is the Mexican peso, and they wanted to create a currency that would work between all three countries. Never happened. I don't know if it, you know.
It's called cocaine.
Well, it was called the Amero, right? No, but here's the point. What the conspiracy entailed was that powerful actors in each government needed to normalize the economies before you could implement a singular currency. If the value of the Canadian dollar is lower than the American dollar, you can't introduce one currency because it would destroy the Canadian economy. What they need to happen is the American economy to crash to the level of Canada and Mexico. And once they're normalized, then you will get the opportunity for a one continent currency. What the ideology of the left is that there is historical and systemic racism among black and brown communities, but not Asian communities, which is why they don't include them.
Of course.
So the idea is if you have a city with a rich white neighborhood and a poor black neighborhood, and you burn the whole city to the ground, now everyone is at the same level, and let them start again equally.
This is exactly what they're doing with the Great Reset, which is really interesting to me too. They're like, oh, this is total chaos, but there's great opportunity here. I'm like, okay, well, that seems really suspicious at best. But I was going to say too, I think this LA thing is going to be a huge red pill for people on gun control. Because when you put gun control into these places, criminals are like, hey, man, I don't care. It's just one more law I'm going to be breaking. I'm going to get a hold of a gun from Indiana or whatever Lori Lightfoot complains about in Chicago. And they're like, I'm going to go through with it. This is basically Christmas coming early because people are unarmed.
If there's somebody who's like, got no moral compass preventing them from killing someone, I'm pretty sure jail is not a deterrent.
No. No.
Your guy in Kenosha.
And but remember, cooperate and comply. It's going to be easier if you just comply. People who make those arguments about complying just, absolutely bothered the crap out of me.
I feel like if every single person was an angry, arrogant individual when it came to these muggings or robberies or whatever, there would be no robberies.
Mm-mm.
These criminals would be like, there's a woman, and she would just go, rah! And then pull out a gun. And they'd be like, I ain't going anywhere near any of these people are crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead, we have a society full of scared, timid victims.
Well, that's the problem with, again, growing up in New York City is that guns were illegal, and so...
You couldn't defend yourself.
Home break-ins were fairly frequent because they knew you didn't have a gun. My dad used to have knives above most of the lintels and most of the doors in the house. And I remember asking him about it, and he's like, I have to defend the house somehow.
And you know,
you can't have a gun. So if you're a criminal, what's the most that's going to happen? They're going to come at you with a steak knife? So you break down doors.
And the Kevin McAllister method is also illegal.
Yeah, unfortunately.
What's that?
Booby traps.
Yeah.
Booby trapping your home is actually, you can't do it. It's illegal.
Yeah.
So, right. So when that little kid puts the paint bucket at the top of the stairs, oh, you'll go to prison for that.
That's
defending yourself in any way in New York City, you go to jail.
Exactly.
Someone robs you, someone attacks you, you leave a blemish or a mark on them, the police officers put you in jail. Yeah.
Yep.
That's insane.
In New Jersey, people keep telling me that there is castle doctrine, and they comment it all the time, and you're wrong. Technically, New Jersey has castle doctrine, but it's an affirmative defense, meaning if you are in your home, in your boxers, eating a midnight burrito, when all of a sudden your door gets kicked in, and a group of people all dressed like the Joker brandishing weapons walk in, so you grab your AR-15, and you say, oh no, they have guns and they're threatening my life, and you shoot them. Sure, you have castle doctrine, but don't worry. The police will be there to arrest you.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be charged with homicide in each incident. And then when you go to trial, you can beg the jury to believe you when you say, I had no choice, I was defending myself. Whereas, now that may be a circumstance that occurs in many states, but there are many states where the cops would come in and be like, this person entered your home and they have a gun. I'm sorry this happened to you. Have a nice day.
Well, that's why the known fact is that you make sure you drag the body in as far into the living room as possible. I remember a cop telling me that in New York City. If you ever have to kill someone who breaks into your house after you stab them in the doorway, drag them as far into the house as possible. Yeah, blue states. Blue states.
Quite literally, don't touch them. Yeah. But in New York, in New Jersey, in Illinois, if someone breaks into your home and threatens your life to your face, and you defend yourself, you will be charged.
And it's because of those policies in Washington, D.C., which is just as bad as New York or anywhere else, that those who can't afford to cross the river and they move into Arlington and they move into Alexandria and they move into Fairfax, but then they vote exactly the same way they did as they were just in and then they're like, Virginia's a blue state. No, it's not. It's as red could be, but it's got this really intense, very small blue dot, and it's 51% of the population.
As the politicians who implement this policy go behind their gated communities and live in a protected society, it's just mind-boggling to see this repeat over and over again. And I think, truly, if people had the ability to arm themselves, to defend themselves, the situation would be so much different, so much better for the rest of society, because you level the playing field. People need to understand, when you're in a place that bans guns, innocent people can't defend themselves. Criminals can have guns and will have guns because they're criminals. They don't care about the law, or they don't care about gun-free zones. They will have guns. You won't.
As long as it's muskets, though, because that's what the Second Amendment's about. Mm. It's about muskets.
We are very close. There could be a Supreme Court ruling which grants nationwide constitutional carry, effectively. We'll see. Yeah. Basically, the issue is that New York is a may-issue state. Mm. You apply for a concealed carry, and they say, well, think about it. Mm. You need a valid reason. It's almost impossible to get. New Jersey is also a may-issue state. However, effectively, they're known as a no-issue state. Because in New Jersey, you can say, someone threatened my life, I need a gun for personal protection, and they'll say, thank you for your attempt at getting a weapon, now get out, you're never getting one. So the Supreme Court's going to hear this case, I believe it's pertaining to the New York lawsuit, where it would require states to issue concealed carry in a reasonable amount of time for any reason, because we have a Second Amendment. Mm. In my personal opinion, I believe that because of the Second Amendment, anyone should be allowed to keep and bear arms. And I said anyone. Mm. Anyone. Now, through due process, you can lose your right to keep and bear arms. That means if you're a convicted felon, due process has come, and as part of the punishment, you will, you know, lose your right to keep and bear arms. However, I personally believe that there should be a time limit or a time frame set on that. Meaning, is it a life sentence? Is it a 5-year prohibition? We shouldn't just say if you're a felon, period, it's a life sentence to never defending yourself. I don't agree with that. Some people commit felonies and they get 1 year in prison, and then they get out and they go back to their lives. They should be allowed to vote and keep and bear arms.
They can also get a felony for mail fraud as opposed to a felony for assault with a deadly weapon, right? I mean, those are different felonies. Difference. What do you think of an age?
None. Because the Constitution, you have to think back to the time of the Founding Fathers.
Muskets.
Regardless, actually, they had many things. They had flintlock pistols. They had muskets. They had repeaters. Eventually, they had repeaters. But they also had, I forgot what the gun was called. It was a multi-barreled gun that could go up, 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 up. So they had fast-firing capabilities. Regardless, back then, let me ask you a question. Mm. The year is 1770, and there's a farm. And the farmer has 5 children, ranging from 17 down to 7. Do you think all of those children will be working the farm, working the fields?
That 7-year-old has a 22 or the equivalent thereof in 1770, and he is trying to get rabbits and pigeons and squirrels because he's got to learn and he's got to do his part.
And maybe not the 7-year-old, but maybe the 12-year-old is told by the father, we got a boar problem. If you see him, take the musket and deal with it. Yeah, very likely the children were armed. Now, there are questions about population density and how that impacts a lot of these laws, in my opinion, but the Constitution will need to be amended if we want to make those changes. That is to say, I do believe it's reasonable to have an age limit to a certain degree. I believe it's reasonable. However, the Constitution does not dictate this. Therefore, I believe it is unconstitutional to bar a 16, 17-year-old, 15, 14, 13, 12, whatever, from bearing arms.
Yeah. My concern is that we've been playing with age so much that now you have to be 21 in most
in
states to smoke. Mm-hmm. Not even just to drink. No, to smoke.
In Virginia, you have to be at least 21 for a handgun.
Yeah.
Now that is crossing a line. I think anyone should say that's wrong because you're 18. You can join the military. Yeah. There was,
but they want 16-year-olds to vote. 15-year-olds can drive. So it's like, you can drive at 15,
different.
but you can't smoke till you're 18, but you can't have a beer till you're 21, but you can go to Fallujah. At 17
but
and
I
a
think
half,
another so. Aspect, another social aspect we should talk about here is parents understanding that they need to raise their children to be smart, responsible individuals and not allowing allowing the state or Hollywood to do it for them.
Yeah.
Because when you do that, you teach people to be irresponsible. There's a huge problem with education in this country. And I think a lot of the fault is with parents saying, I'm just going to give my child to the iPad, to the TV,
to the state.
To the state. And I'm like, that's one of the worst things that you could possibly do. And I really think if you put on, you know, a lot of personal responsibility on people, I think most people will, of course, step up to the occasion, take on the personal responsibility, give their life purpose. Some people will win the Darwin Awards, yes. Mm. But when it comes to reducing harm, I do believe reducing harm in the long term is going to be the best way by promoting responsibility rather than dependence and people just relying on the state. I think long term it's going to help the most amount of people.
I want to go back in time. You see these photos from the 50s or whatever of high school gun clubs.
Yeah. Yes.
They're great.
If you raise kids to respect and understand firearms and firearm safety, I believe we would reduce violent crime would go down right away because people are armed and safe.
Yes.
And accidents would go down because kids would be well-versed and well-trained. Mm. A lot of problems we hear about with accidental shootings and kids getting access to weapons is that their parents hide the weapon from them and don't train them in any safety, but the kid says, I know where my dad hides his gun, and then not knowing anything about it, not being trained, not getting any safety protection or protocols, takes action.
And there's a stigma to it. And a lot of people in Hollywood, of course, every movie has guns and they're all, you know, having all these action scenes. There's a huge misconception. There's so much misunderstanding when it comes to firearms. And just by making it this kind of taboo topic where you can't really talk about it, you can't really practice it, you can't really have it, people, of course, naturally do want to have it. So what better way than to get rid of all of that, get rid of all that pressure, and to allow people, like you just mentioned, in schools, educate them about how to use it properly, because that is the only way to really, truly prevent harm.
Not only were they doing guns in the, like, gun clubs in the 50s and 60s, you ever notice how much healthier everyone looked? Yeah.
I will say, in my personal view, if I was the despot, I would say there should probably be, at, like, age 14, a learner's permit for firearms. And this is when you can keep and bear long guns, and you can use it for school programs and for hunting in the presence of an adult. At 16, you are legally allowed as a human being to keep and bear arms and to defend yourself. That being said, that's just my personal opinion. Mm. So long as the Second Amendment exists and it does not specify age, then I believe any law that seeks to curtail a human right of bearing arms to defend yourself is a violation of the Constitution. So I don't agree. I personally would not advocate for 12-year-olds being armed. Mm. I do think, however, we need to legally, lawfully, constitutionally address the Second Amendment because it is broad. It is very broad. The right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. There's no age restrictions in the Constitution. Well, there are. I'm sorry. That's factually incorrect. What I mean to say is human rights. If you want to run for office, it's 25 for Congress, it's 35 for president. I believe it's, what is it? Is it 25 for Senate as well? Or it could be 30, I think.
Anyway, the 30 for Senate, 35 for president.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is kids have free speech. They do. They have a right to free speech. So wouldn't they have a right to keep and bear arms? Mm. Mm. A child can't violate the Fourth Amendment rights of a child. But the Second? For some reason, we allow this. Now, here's the problem I have with the age restrictions. We say, okay, then you got to be 18 to buy a weapon. We set that standard in law. And then 20 years goes by and they say, okay, now it's 21. So what? In 10 more years, they're going to say 25, then 28, then 30, then 35, then 40, then 50. And then we think it's reasonable that only a mature adult of 50 years old should be allowed to keep and bear arms. No. Mm. It's either you want to argue 18 because it's a threshold we have from minor to, you know, adult. Okay, we'll argue for 18. I still think the Constitution, when it was made, they did not expect 15-year-olds to be disarmed because 15-year-olds were fighting in wars. Right. Yeah. And that's not a good thing. Child soldiers, bad, bad thing. The point is, I think the Founding Fathers expected people to be giving their kids weapons to defend their property and their country.
Heck, I think a half dozen signers of the Declaration were only like 21 or 22 or something. I mean,
I think Thomas Jefferson was what, 26?
Yeah, I mean, they were all still pretty much kids, with the exception of Ben Franklin, right?
There were a few who were like pretty old and up there, but it was a wide range.
There was a lot of young 20-year-olds who were considered wise and mature. And
I started thinking about this because I was watching the movie The Patriot with Mel Gibson. And he literally hands his 10 and 12-year-old sons muskets, multiple muskets.
How to reload.
And tells them to fight in war. And I'm like,
reload for your brother.
That's right. Yeah. Reload for your brother while he's firing, and then he's providing cover. And, you know, I think any reasonable person would be like, kids fighting wars is a very horrifying, bad thing.
Well, look at what we're doing with, you know, they talk about Kyle Rittenhouse. I tweeted this the other day, that a kid that age should not be patrolling the streets with a weapon of war. That's the exact age of people you want to send to Syria and Afghanistan perpetuity to patrol their streets. How many 18-year-olds have we lost patrolling the streets of Fallujah for their peace and quiet? And it's like, well, he shouldn't be doing it in Kenosha. You know what? I mean, if you're going to send them over to another country and to maintain order, I admire the fact that he wanted to maintain order in his own country.
I think, you know, the defense in the Rittenhouse case is trying to get the gun charge. They tried to get it thrown out. I believe they tried to get it thrown out because the law in question about it is possession of a deadly weapon by someone under the age of 18. But Section 3C of the statute says that there's an exemption, which then cites two other provisions that, that you have to not be in compliance. If you're not in compliance with it, you're exempted or something. The simple answer is it says it only applies to people under the age of 16. I think that makes sense that the Wisconsin legislature said no one under the age of 18 can have a weapon. And then someone was like, what if it's my 16 or 17-year-old kid going hunting with me? And they went, okay. Oh, so then we'll put in the exemption that specifically says under the age of 16. The reason I think that language makes sense is because they wouldn't want to say a minor who's under the age of 18, but we only really mean ages 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. So they basically said, okay, 16 and 17 are exempt. So I think that charge, I think that should go to the jury, but I believe the judge has stated he will instruct them not to read Section 3C and the following provisions, which means they may actually convict him. That being said, the defense should probably raise a civil rights question and file a lawsuit over the charges pertaining to as a violation of the Constitution. They should make the argument that the Second Amendment does not specifically grants the right to keep and bear arms in general to all people. Ask the question, do children have a right to free speech? And the courts have already ruled yes. Do children have a right to be secure in their possessions from unlawful search and seizure? The answer is yes. Do children have a right to remain silent? They do. Then they certainly have a right to keep and bear arms. Kyle Rittenhouse should not be criminally charged as a 17-year-old of all. I mean, come on. We're not talking about a 12-year-old. We're talking about a 17-year-old who had a long gun. Arguably with an exemption, being criminally charged over it, make a constitutional argument. Get the law thrown out.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just, I mean, we're reaching a point where lawlessness is becoming the new norm, though. So we're living in a world where certain laws don't apply to certain people. So when it comes to that aspect, we have a long wish list of things we want, but I think there's still a bigger battle at hand. There's still a lot of issues we need to address in this country when it comes to hypocrisy, when it comes to the political situation, when it comes to forces of the state being used in order to do the opposite of what is good for the people. Also, before we go into some of the super chats, there was one story today that kind of gave me hope and made me laugh a little bit. It was of this Vietnamese communist leader named Nguyen Thu Lan. He did a trip to London to pay respects to Karl Marx at his gravesite. And there's a video of him eating a 24-carat gold steak
from Salt
at a restaurant by the Salt Babe. That's at least $1,000 per steak. Salt Babe, the hashtag, was blocked on Facebook temporarily. Videos of the incident were being blocked of course, people in Vietnam were sharing it wildly, saying, hey, this guy was supposed to pay respects to Karl Marx, the workers' people, as he's eating golden steak by Salt Babe.
I'm sure. Karl Marx ate very well. Communist leaders are not the communist, you know, people. The people who advocate for communism always had vodka and caviar. It's the peasants who are the ones who are going to suffer. They're the necessary casualties.
Have you guys seen the viral tweet from Existentialist Comics where they were like, capitalism emerged in the 16th century and they immediately went on to colonize, commit genocide and slavery. We're told communism is bad because of a famine. And people who are too stupid to do research are like, oh, wow, communism. And then it's like the communists invaded countries, committed the Holodomor, which is where they forced a famine on the people of Ukraine, and they killed 100 million plus people. Communists are warmongering authoritarians who put innocent people in gulags because they threatened their power. So don't come to me and be like, my ideology is innocent and yours is not. No, there's no innocent ideology. They all, taken to their extreme, have bad things about them. Even, you know, outright libertarianism has its issues. There's got to be some, you know, agreement between people. Otherwise, someone comes and poops in your water and then says, I'm free to do what I want. And then you fight.
Well, decentralization, I think is definitely the way to go here.
Absolutely.
I think when you centralize anything, I mean, if people want to be communists, let them be communists. If people want to be libertarians, let them be libertarians.
But every you can't agreement- be communist in your own, though. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. Like, you can be a libertarian in your own little compound or commune, or you can be a capitalist on Wall Street, but to be a communist, you have to control.
You have to be hungry,
and you have to control
and work
government.
In the gulags.
Yeah. You can't be a communist, like, on your farm, you know, that would be like one of those weird socialist groups. To be a true communist, which is why they infiltrate government, why they infiltrate politics, the school system, the FBI, they have to control the systems of power, because that's their culture.
Let me correct myself. If some crazy mentally deranged people want to go on their own and live by their own concepts of communism and fail miserably, they can do it.
That's fine. Yeah.
They go right ahead. Go on, create your little commune.
There's a very famous commune that works. It's capped at 100 people. Everybody is equal. It's vote by committee. People who leave the commune and a space opens up, then they all vote on who they're going to let in, who apply, and they all work and they all share their food. I'll tell you this. I think communism, great idea if it applies to 100 people or less. Mm. But it's not something that can scale up. And it works within a capitalist system with defended borders.
Hmm. Yes. Are the people in that commune actually communists or just like a bunch of hippies?
They're probably just like a bunch of socialist hippies.
When you have – communism works very, very, very well. It really does. When you are culturally homogenous. Mm. When everyone agrees on the rules and likes the rules and everyone gets along, it works.
Nordic
communism can't scale because you have to kill the people who dissent or gulag them.
Yeah, I don't think communism works even with cultural homogeneity. I would just, if it does, I just want to know where.
It works. So there,
it didn't in the Soviet Union, and
was no cultural homogeneity.
How about just good old Russia?
No, there wasn't.
Let alone with how about China?
No, you do not. You've got
so
the
again,
Uyghur Muslims.
In a theory, in some place, it could
not
work.
Not in theory. Well, in these small communes where they're culturally homogenous.
Where?
There's like one example. There's
one example of the 100 people?
There's a famous commune in the United States that consists of 100 people. All right? If you want to take a look at heavy social policies where they're like, you know, not outright communism, but the Nordic countries, culturally homogenous across the board. These are people, they call Sweden North Korea of the North because the people are all basically like for the motherland. Ah. And so they all agree with each other. They follow the narrative. They march in lockstep and no one challenges it. Mm-hmm. And so long, if you have 100 people and they all, a cult, for instance, a religion, you want to know where authoritarianism works outright? Religious fascistic theocracies.
And corporations.
And corporations where everyone has to adhere to the culture. And if you dissent, you're removed. So when you look at a small commune, 100 people, and they can come and go as they please, it works. Why? Because someone's like, we all agree stealing is wrong, and then people don't steal. We all agree everyone should share the bounty of the tomatoes, and they do. But when you have 100,000 people, and then you have poverty or starving people because there's no way to distribute effectively to large-scale populations, and then someone says, I actually don't think stealing is wrong. All of a sudden now, the authority, which represents the majority, has to say, okay, we're going to remove that person by force. Small communes don't have to deal with that. If you have a country where every single person is blindly adherent to an ideology, your authoritarianism will work.
North Korea.
The problem, to a certain extent, people flee North Korea.
Right.
The problem is, at scale, you will never have 100% cultural homogeneity.
I guess I'm struggling with the phrase will work. I don't know what work means.
Like it'll function properly.
How do you define it works? Like
people are well fed. The system doesn't fall apart.
Yeah, I disagree with you. I think socialism, like in the Nordic countries, but I would say that's not communism.
Well, that's not socialism.
But capitalism of but that's not communism.
Right. Communism in its purest, you know, form of
it has to have a central committee.
No. Communism doesn't. The issue is with the leftists, they say real communism's never been tried. What they're really saying is every time we try communism, we have to do certain things to purge the non-believers, and then it results in mass death.
Yeah.
That's why communism doesn't, that's why quote unquote real communism has never been tried. Because whenever you try to implement a form of government and economics that requires absolute conformity, you have to kill those who refuse to conform. But if you created a plot of land and said, Everyone who believes 2 + 2 = 4 can come inside. Well, then guess what? Everyone there will agree 2 + 2 = 4, and you will never have 2 + 2 = 5 because it's a prerequisite for entering. Mm. So on small scales, when everyone agrees on their culture and their identity, then basically the fascistic, authoritarian, or communist system functions very well because everyone sits there. I saw a funny meme where it was like someone, it was like in the medieval times, it's a guy, he's a king, and he goes, I want a bigger castle, go kill that man. And then the soldiers are like, for the king! And then it was like modern day, and it's like, we need to stop the spread of communism. They're like, you can't make me fight, screw you. And the point is, back when you had zealous, fervent followers of the authority, they would do anything so it works in that respect. When I say works, what I mean is, if you go into a town of a thousand people and say, from now on, you're all going to live under our communist regime. And they say, my worldview and moral framework is at odds with you. I resist. The only way to implement it is to purge those people. Mm. But if it's the inverse, where you say, anyone who wants communism can come, then you get these little communes popping up all over the country, and there's a ton of them. I mean, there's small ones of 20 to 30 people. I've personally known people in Chicago who have small functioning communes, like in the Chicagoland area, and there's the famous one of 100 people that I just referenced. But this is why I always say that left libertarianism, communism doesn't scale up. Because you can't rapidly transform 60 million people into a homogenous culture. The only way they can go about doing it is killing them or gulagging them, which is why communism typically
organizing
genocide.
Organizing them, which in the past was gulagging one way, or murdering, which was another way. But if you could organize the people in real time so that the people with differing ideas or new ideas that pop up get segmented into either actual three-dimensional areas where that's kind of like gulagging, or psychological areas, which is kind of like social media censorship, you might have an agile enough system that could function. But then it's about transporting goods to where they need to get to. But it's a lot of technology.
But you're introducing a couple elements. One, you need a deciding principles as to how these people are segmented. And also, there has to be a certain level, like even these 100 people, you're talking about a certain level of voluntarism, people willingly join into that. And that's
why it works in small scale.
But when they're born, I would argue that's the antithesis of communism and socialism. It doesn't have a voluntary component to it. So
if we're talking about what communism and socialism are meant, are actually on paper in theory, then they work in small scales. If we're talking about the implementation we've seen throughout history, it's people being like, on paper, the idea of workers controlling the means of production sounds really great. Mm. And if you have a small plot of land and you say, everyone who agrees will all co-own this, co-ops exist, little communes exist. But what happens is the communists say, I want America to be communist. Okay, well, now you got 300 million people, most of which think you're insane and will actively and violently resist you. So they say, well, if we kill and gulag all those people, then we can have our communism. And they're not wrong. They're just evil genocidal maniacs.
I'd be curious to know of the 100 people in the successful commune, how many have been there consistently, because just by human nature.
I mean, bro, look, if you're biased against the idea of small communes working and you haven't researched it, you just need to look at.
No, I would. I'm just saying, of the 100 people who are living there, within a matter of weeks, human nature is competitive, which is why capitalism works. At one point within weeks, one person is going to be like, this is ridiculous that I'm doing this and Luke is not, and he's getting his highlighter.
I think,
and it's like, give me a break. And then you're either going to take his highlighter and hide it, or you're going to be like, I'm done with this.
I think you're biased.
I totally am because human nature does not like egalitarianism, which is why they love the term equity.
Do you think
because equity is unachievable?
Do you think that out of 330 million Americans, there are at least 100 dedicated communists in this country?
Absolutely. And I guarantee you those 100 people within their protected borders, living their little ideals, within a matter of weeks, one person is going to be like, BS, why do you not have to pick potatoes and I do?
Stop. So you're saying no to my question?
No, I don't.
You're saying no to my question.
I'm saying because
it's... You do not believe that 100 communists exist in this country.
They exist, but they cannot exist together the way you're saying because human nature does not allow it.
I just think it's absurd because you can actually go these places. You go to these places and watch them do it.
Yeah,
there's a lot of drama in communism.
That was my question. How many of the 100 have been there consistently?
They're there for like a year. These places exist.
A year is great, but that's not life. That's a retreat.
This,
that's going. That's a sabbatical.
Who have been there for a very, very long time, And I think, I just think it's patently absurd that you would argue that places that literally exist don't exist.
I am saying that it is human nature to be competitive with the other people and to be envious. They're not good qualities, but they are real qualities.
But
100 people all working on the farm, and it's pick potato hour, boys, and we're all picking potatoes, but Luke is sitting there on his phone. Eventually, I'm going to be like, this is BS. And it's like, well, we all get to have dinner. Why does Luke get to have dinner? He didn't pick potatoes.
What do you think a commune does to someone who doesn't do work?
I don't know. What do?
They tell them to leave.
Then that's not communism.
It literally
then
is.
Then that's voluntarism.
No.
So you don't have 100. You have 99.
There is left libertarianism. It exists. It exists very, very well at very small scales.
Yeah.
It can't scale up because of the problem of cultural homogeneity. So these small left libertarian hippie farms are all over the place. I've experienced them in the Chicagoland area. I've had friends who've lived on these things, and I personally have been to a place of about 20 people that lived in a hippie commune, and they all shared the workload. They had a work wheel, and it would rotate, and then people's names were around the wheel, and the chore wheel would rotate, and they'd be like, "You're doing dishes. You're doing crop. You're planting the seeds this season," and people were like, "Okay." And then if it ever came to someone not doing it, they'd have a committee meeting and they'd be like, "We're having an issue where one of our members is not acting in accordance with our what we want and what we mm-hmm. believe." They'd sit down and talk to them and say, "It was your job to do X. Do you still want to be here?" And if the person would say something like, "I'm struggling with this," they'd be like, "Thank you for coming. We think that you'd be better off somewhere else, and we would like to invite someone to live here." These are communes. Mm. They live in a way in which they all share and own everything equally, and because they all have the same ideology, they have scruples. They don't steal from each other. It works really well at small scales. Mm. But when you scale up to 100, 200 million people, you have to gulag those who don't conform with your system. So I maintain you can easily find these communes all over the country.
You might be talking about Sunburst Farms. Is that the one? It was the Brotherhood of something something of the Sun, and then it apparently
sounds miserable.
Now is now a corporation called Sunburst Farms.
Which is now like a subsidiary of this company, which is the mothership, which is owned by BlackRock.
I visit a lot of
authoritarian.
I visit a lot of communes.
Brought to you by Pfizer.
But there's another story breaking here, just to interrupt this in a little bit. I'm seeing a lot of comments about the New York Times obtaining private communications from Project Veritas that was given to them by the FBI.
Whoa.
Will Chamberlain is tweeting about this.
Ooh.
Tucker Carlson just did a segment about this. I was just looking at my phone as you guys were going at it, but this is a major story of the FBI leaking the private communications of Project Veritas. These are some of the preliminary reports, and giving it to the New York Times. That's the preliminary reports that are coming out right now. Will Chamberlain is reporting about the legality of it. I mean, this is just yet another horrendous example of a legal justice system
that have to go to the gulag.
That is becoming more bastardized and more political by the day.
Yeah.
I stated this in response. So there's a story that progressives are calling for a mistrial in the Rittenhouse case because the judge's phone played God Bless the USA. And I said, as millennials age into power, the divide in this country will become more and more extreme, and the United States' dissolution seems inevitable.
Hmm.
When the FBI raids a journalistic enterprise to leak their communications to another rival ideological institution who then gleefully publishes that information, this is what I'm saying about cultural homogeneity. The journalist at the New York Times should have said, "We will never publish this. That's an egregious violation." Instead, they're like, "Ooh," because they are... We are a culturally bifurcated society.
Yeah. Will Twitter allow people to tweet about it like the Hunter Biden laptop, or will they not allow tweets it was obtained illegally? Twitter's standard.
Yeah.
Their standard is you can't tweet about stuff that was obtained illegally.
I think it's pretty clear what they're going to do, what fits with their agenda, with their narrative. But to be clear, the FBI, this is what Mike Cernovich is saying, quote, "The FBI leaked attorney-client privileged communications from those devices to the New York Times." So this is a major story that's just developing right now that a lot of people have been telling me here in the comment section. But this seems very big and just yet another sign of just how politically biased and insane our current social political climate is right now. Because, I mean, if these allegations that we're seeing...
These people are evil.
I'm asking myself, who...
Adam Goldman of the New York Times. Evil. We've got to stop playing these games. This is a guy who got privileged legal communications under the United States Constitution and our laws and norms. You have a right to legal counsel. And the guy at the New York Times gleefully published this from a rival organization. Why? They want this country to burn. They want power, and they will get it by any means necessary, and they will use the power of the federal government to do it. I am looking at all of you right now, and I am telling you this. The police will kick your door in and bash your teeth out the moment Black Lives Matter protests you. We've already seen it happen. You think this is a joke? James O'Keefe's legal privileged communications were just given to the New York Times, and Adam Goldman, with a smile on his face, published it. He doesn't care about this country. He doesn't care about our norms. These people are at war with you, and they will burn your life to the ground like they're doing to Rittenhouse and like they're doing now to James O'Keefe because you dare oppose their power grab. This is not a joke, and it is getting worse. And in the next 10 years, as we enter the fourth turning and it escalates, it is going to get worse. James O'Keefe is a journalist. The federal government stole his privileged legal communications and gave it to the New York Times, who published it with a smile on their faces. These people do not hold your values. They do not believe in the Constitution. The prosecutor in the Rittenhouse case violated the Constitution. They will do it again. They will do it more. And they will burn down your town. And the feds will protect them. And the police will protect them. Stop thinking the institutions are on your side. This country is being corrupted. And we are watching it every day. And it has gotten to the point where you need to ask yourself, will the police protect you when someone comes to your town and threatens to kill you? No. The detectives in Kenosha, the state, the prosecutor, went against the young man who was fleeing for his life. And James O'Keefe, an anti-establishment individual, and I mean that with respect, but he is outright just a journalist, is facing the boot of the authoritarian fascist government. And it will get worse, and it will happen to you because you keep complying. And you keep saying, but my kids need food! And now inflation is here, and there's food shortages, and your kids aren't eating, and the schools are indoctrinating your kids. Now we see a turnaround with Youngkin, because the parents are standing up. But too many people keep saying, as long as I keep filleting the state and dropping on my knees for the far left extremists, I will squeak by, and you will not. The police will come to your home. They will kick your door in, and they will arrest you, because the good cops have already started quitting. And like we saw in Seattle, the police arrested the man who was retreating from Antifa as Antifa approached him with clubs in hand. And they apologized to Antifa over it. Like we saw in the Chaz, when several men unloaded hundreds of rounds into an SUV, and then the extremists stripped the evidence from the vehicle, and none of those people are brought to justice. And now we are at the point where Project Veritas is having their private, privileged, legal communications leaked to the New York Times, who with a smile on their face violate all norms, all respect, and lack all scruples. And you think sitting back and complying will result in you getting by. You are wrong. I'm sick of this.
Preach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what do you do when the FBI is violating the Constitution? Because you can't call anyone at that point. There's no more authority to appeal to. You have to create your own.
I mean, I don't trust anyone in government because even the good ones are weak. I like to think right now Rand Paul is calling Merrick Garland, or Rand Paul is calling Christopher Wray saying, what's going on, guys? But even then, they're just going to laugh and say, you're in the minority. What are you going to do? Bring me to a hearing?
They couldn't get it done when they were in the majority.
No, exactly.
The Republicans agreed with Russiagate. Yeah. They did nothing.
Yeah.
And now I can't believe, I don't think people understand the severity of what we're witnessing right now with Project Veritas.
No.
Hearing this story breaking right now on this show is basically what you need to understand. We are in a neo-communist fascist. We need a new word for it. State, authoritarian, whatever.
This is technocracy, man. This is it.
Has had evidence of crimes committed in Kenosha. Nothing was done. The state prosecutor instructed the detectives not to execute a search warrant on Gage Grosskreutz, who came with a concealed weapon illegally to a riot. And the state said, no, 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 don't execute the warrant against him. They are burning the country to the ground. They're getting away with it. The FBI is not on the side of justice.
Right.
They are on the side of targeting you, your friends. They will come for you given time. You think maybe you can hide among the masses, but eventually when the turkeys are all lined up, not a single turkey gets by, all of their heads get removed. Project Veritas just happens to be one of the groups with a longer neck. James O'Keefe stands up and speaks out and goes after the power structure. And the New York Times is a vassal of the authoritarian state. They are a weapon wielded by the authoritarians who have taken over this country and are taking away our rights. And they are raiding the homes of journalists. This is, I just hope you all understand that this moment right now will go down in infamy. You will remember where you were when you learned the FBI began targeting American journalists, because in a year, in 2 years, when there no longer exists any free press, you will ask yourself, how is it that we've gotten to this point where we're hiding underground, where we're fleeing our homes, where we've decided it's no longer safe to live in this country? And you will think back to the day that Project Veritas was raided by the FBI and their legal rights were violated, and that other journalistic institutions gleefully basked in this.
James O'Keefe is the canary in the coal mine. Let's not let him die.
Yes.
Let's not let him go down. Seriously, our opinions, our voices do matter. The protests do matter. Us getting involved does matter. If you're going to put your tail between your legs, if you're going to hide, you're going to get hit sooner or later. There's no escaping. There's no running away from this. It's time to face it and to do everything in our power legally, peacefully, safely, to raise awareness.
Persuasive and resourceful.
Exactly.
The problem is that I had a conversation recently where someone said, I'm sick of the mandates. I refuse to work in an environment where they're going to make me get booster shots. And I'm going to vote Democrat. And I'm like, I'll be honest, I don't think Republican gets you out of here either.
They don't.
But this idea that people can keep sticking their hand into the fire and eventually get by, no. I think what we need are people to just start overtly telling their jobs, telling the businesses, no, I will not comply. I refuse. In New York City, they have lied. In San Francisco, in LA, they have lied. They have stated, we've always had vaccine mandates. No, we haven't.
True.
We've never had a circumstance in which you were denied public accommodation because you refuse a government mandated medical procedure.
Yeah. There are small things you can do. I mean, people sometimes they feel powerless and they want to push back. And how do you, because most of the things we need to survive come from huge corporations, and huge corporations are easily, but are everywhere. They're omnipresent, but there are small things you can do. Like one of the simplest ones, I closed my Bank of America account. I didn't have a ton of money, but
perfect.
My direct deposit of my paycheck, I had my loan through them, took all my money. I went to a small little bank of Clark County because I live in rural Virginia, or a credit union.
Yeah.
And when they said, why do you want to close your accounts? I said, because your philanthropy and your $1 billion to Black Lives Matter, I can't be part of that. If you have profits, you're making it from me and I can't be part. So there are little small things you can do in those decisions that you make. You can't necessarily get rid of your iPhone. You can't necessarily, but
I want to say first and foremost right now, what you need to do is Google search your local representatives, your state rep, your state senator. Win these elections. Because if the states can get to a convention of states, we can solve this very quickly. That's where we start. That's what needs to be done. Get prepared for the midterm elections and primary the establishment Republicans and the neocons. Get in the national populists and the more libertarian-minded individuals. Look at what New Hampshire is doing with the Free State Project. That's victory. I also want to make sure I read this one super chat someone pointed out. Regina Pontes says Obama went after James Rosen. You are correct. Absolutely.
Yep.
Obama went after more whistleblowers under the Espionage Act than all other presidents combined. Obama was a monster and a tyrant, and we got Donald Trump after him. Now we're back to Obama's administration. It's just Biden. Biden is basically Obama 2.0. Of course it's getting this bad. Let's read super chats because, man, that really lit me up. Dude. James O'Keefe may be one of the only investigative journalists we have left. There are many smaller individuals, but this is a guy who I've said it over and over again. He is angering the powers that be because he's one of the few people willing to stand up to the machine. And it's no surprise to me that we've reached this point where they're doing this. And this isn't just going after one journalist. It's going after an organization and all of their reporters.
So before we go to Super Chats, I just want to say earlier today I tweeted that the Black Lives Matter in New York City is talking about burning the place to the ground, and the FBI is doing things like investigating James O'Keefe. That's right. Don't think anyone is coming to save us. Yeah. So it's up to us. So we need to figure out what we're going to do about it.
No one will save you.
Florida.
You got to save yourself.
New Hampshire.
Yep.
Texas. West Virginia.
Yes.
West Virginia, I think, is the worst of the bunch.
Maybe Virginia. Yeah, come on.
Maybe. I mean, there was some resistance, but I don't think the Republican Party is the path to freedom or victory. But primarying.
Yeah. Right.
Primarying these establishment actors, it is still possible. We can do this peacefully with persuasion and resource. We've just never tried before. I think right now we are very, very close to a convention of states. Because at the state level, you have more honest and freedom-loving individuals. We have to stop ceding power to the federal government. We need states to start standing up. So vote. Google search right now who your state rep and state senator are. Look at that state senator in New Jersey.
Yeah.
We need more people to vote for good individuals. It doesn't mean Republican. It doesn't mean Democrat. Typically, it means no Democrats, though. Mm. But I don't think it's a guarantee you're going to get a good Republican. But in the Free State Project in New Hampshire, they're using the Republican Party as their vehicle towards freedom. And it's working. We got to read Super Chats because we are way behind.
So behind.
All right. Steve Otten says, how would one apply for your upcoming fact checker research positions? I did both HS policy debate and college CETA debate, and I absolutely loved, beyond just the debates, researching to find that perfect bit of evidence to use in rounds. We have not yet gone to the point where the fact-checking nonprofit is functioning because we have to wait until the new year for, you know, tax purposes. But we'll have an announcement. We'll probably set up an email for it. And I think we're going to hire like 3 people. So, but I appreciate the interest. I think we definitely need it. Blue Dick Goyer says, finally subscribed to Luke Uncensored. Wow, he really holds his tongue on this show. This is amazing control.
I have so many other things. It's like a fine line. I know there's a lot of things YouTube doesn't allow me to say, and I want to explode with it. LukeUncensored.com. I've been having a lot of fun with it.
I want to turn him down there.
It's lethargic. I feel so much better when I'm able to get everything off of my chest.
On the Timcast.com member segments, we mostly just add swear words to our, like, I swear, you know, I think once we go members only, I'm going to be swearing every other word on the streams of
people. I go deep into like spirit world solutions and like supplements. I go wild.
All right. We'll try and read as many as we can, but you know, that rant ate up a lot of our super chat time. Sure, so did. I apologize, everybody. I do.
It was important.
It was.
Yeah, I absolutely think.
No,
it was
I saw
very
the
important.
Story. I'm like, we need to talk about this now.
Absolutely. And it was better than your defense of the communists and their little. I mean, so I was glad we got to change the subject from that. Come on, Tim, that was funny.
Ponton 21 says, "Tim, you're on it. The benefit of the doubt is the opening every deceitful person and con artist use to abuse those who give it. When you take that away, they lose their ability to manipulate and eventually are exposed." We need to make sure, now I will stress this very, very, very important point. Violence doesn't work right now. Mm. We are in a new era of fifth generational warfare, which means we need to win hearts and minds. That's why I've always been really adamant. The riots were one of the worst things for Black Lives Matter. They had overwhelming support. I believe net support was like 27%. That means like 60 some odd percent of this country supported Black Lives Matter. And then they rioted. Mm. When George Floyd lost his life, instantly everyone said, I support this movement. Mm. When they rioted, it dropped below where they were even earlier in the year. So we need to make sure that everything being done by us and what we believe in is always going to be peaceful and through the peaceful, persuasive, and resourceful. The moment someone tries using any ideology or name to commit violence, fed. There was that famous viral video where a guy in D.C. was yelling, we need to go in the Capitol, and all of the people started yelling, fed, 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 fed. Huh. Anyone who advocates for violence is likely trying to subvert and give power to the authoritarians and the fascists. As I've stated in the past, the path towards fascism will be when Antifa commits acts of violence and people start yelling to the government, save us. And then the Feds say, oh, we better get that funding. We better get a new Patriot Act or a new NDAA.
Exactly. Mm.
So what we need to do is right now at the state level, vote and primary. Mm-hmm. Get free state individuals in your state to get elected. Convention of states.
Problem.
Peaceful, persuasive, resourceful.
Yep. Problem, reaction, solution. And you hit the nail on the head right there.
That's right. All right, let's try and read some more. Oh, man, I'll try and jump down to some of the later Super Chats. I apologize for ranting. G-Money says, tell Seamus McAnimator that his most recent vid has single-handedly red-pilled four people that I know today. Ooh. It was a good video. You should check it out. Basically, like, why are they defending this child abuser, which is really, really weird. All right, let's see. G-Money says, if Rittenhouse didn't cry, then the left would have lambasted him for not showing any remorse. Also, the case would be very different if he shot a person of color. Mm. I completely agree. There was no path. They said, he's not even remorseful. Then he cries. He's faking it. That's the game they play. Tanner Reeve says, Scott Adams, please. He referenced your empire building on his podcast the other day. It would be a great conversation. I completely agree. Would love to have Scott on the show.
We will get him eventually.
Yeah. Empire building. I almost don't want to go anywhere near it. And the path, not a day goes by where I'm just like, man, it would be so much easier to just drive into the wilderness on the top of a mountain and just live peacefully and away from everybody and just get away from all this. But I fear that this world is burning, that people are having their rights violated. And that's why I think it's adamant we create decentralized tech. That's why it's adamant we challenge the liars. Because if we really want that amazing Star Trek-like future, we have to stand up for freedoms and liberty today. All right, let's see. Mike Hiller says, Tim, you're giving Anna too much credit. Yes, she said she was wrong, but TYT buried it in the middle of a video, and people are only seeing it because Adam friended, is that his name? Clipped it. Sure, but she still admitted she was wrong.
It.
And that means the core fans of TYT saw her say it because they watched those videos. It was a good thing. All right, let's see. Manifestation of Imagination says, get Inverted World to investigate time travelers. As the Wikipedia Tim Pool live streaming Zeppelin proves, time travelers are here.
Oh.
The time traveler knew it would happen, just got the date mixed up. Well, I get the joke, but, you know, we built the Let's Go Brandon blimp because I was trying to troll Wikipedia, basically.
I think the other phrase should be used for that blimp. It's the tax
this dick.
I wasn't going to say it. Blimp, I think, has a better ring to it.
Falconizer, is that what it says? Says, I know a socialist who sincerely believes Black Lives Matter protests are peaceful and any violence committed is done by right-wingers wanting to make BLM look bad. Some truly believe there is no war in Ba Sing Se.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I think everybody needs to understand that. If there was ever a time where you should realize there is war in Ba Sing Se, it's when James O'Keefe has his privileged legal communications leaked to the New York Times by the FBI. Yeah, they're coming for you and they seek to destroy your values. It is not, I don't think we're at a point where all is lost. I think we're at a point where we're very, very close to a convention of states. Mm. We need only, what, like three more states? Vote local. That's the path to victory.
Mm-hmm.
But bad stuff is happening. And to be fair, the government has done bad stuff basically forever.
Mm.
All right, let's see. Scott Spivey says, careful, Tim, you've been calling Hawk Hank all day. Watch out for your white privilege. What is his name?
Right.
Is Hawk,
Hawk
Newsom?
He goes by Hawk. Yeah.
Huh.
His real name is Walter.
Is Walter?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. His real name is Walter. Yeah. He went to law school. Yeah.
All right.
I took him up because I wasn't sure.
All right. Let's see. Oh, I'm not going to read that one, but it was a good one, but I can't.
Disappointing.
Ah, here we go. Omega Rasetsu says Puckle Gun was the first rapid fire gun. That's right. Actually, I'm not sure the Puckle Gun was the first. But there was a rapid fire gun that was introduced in, I think that was like the late 1600s, early 1700s. But there was a rapid fire gun in the 1300s. It was one barrel with like 10 small barrels in it, and they would pack them all and then light it and go pop, 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 pop. But not fully automatic. It was each individual barrel firing. All right, let's see. Daniel Welch says, you know James O'Keefe complied with FBI as no one with moved that slick could be pinned and cuffed. I guess that's a joke, but I think James O'Keefe is actively resisting and fighting back, so this would be interesting.
Mm-hmm. He will fight.
All right. Spartan Bodhi says, howdy, Timcast. You all inspired my crew to join the culture war with our D&D play podcast. Just good stories and no political agendas. We call ourselves Normal Tales. Keep up the great work. I'm sorry, Nominal Tales. Sounds good. We need culture. We just need people to be engaging in culture and doing fun, normal stuff. All right. An authentic tin can says, Tim, I had my gun taken from me by the police after defending myself with it. I live in Arizona, and the guy lied to police about what happened. Like I said, the police will violate your rights at any given notice when they're instructed to do so. They're not here to protect you. They're here to protect the state. There are good cops, and I have no problem defending policing and the departments. The problem is, over the past year, we watched the good cops quit. Mm-hmm. And not all cops were good, but there were a lot of them who quit because they didn't want to violate rights. And now what are we left with? The most corrupt. Amazing. 27 cops defending an illegal Black Lives Matter political message painted in the streets of New York. And no one thought that was strange. They're changing the names of streets. Mm. We have 1984 on Luke's shirt. Not an instruction manual, but it's literally happening before our eyes.
Yeah.
In every way. Let's see. GC Geek Army says, Tim, please go look at Will Chamberlain's Twitter ASAP. New York Times has Project Veritas Communications.
Yeah, that was one of the messages that I saw. That's one of the things I saw that I had to bring up.
It is a scandal indeed.
Man.
Could you imagine how great if that New York Times journalist tweeted that I was given these documents, but I refused to publish them?
It'd be heroic.
He'd be a hero. He would be single-handedly changing the narrative and changing our society right now if he said, I refuse to publish this.
The New York Times is being worn as a skin suit by these neo-Marxists.
Yeah.
These are the ideologues. This is their overarching idea. All else falls to the wayside. They don't think past stage one like Thomas Sowell talks about. They don't think, oh, tomorrow it might be me. It will never be me. I'm in charge. I'm in power.
You know, I'm sorry. You know, Michael Malice often says, like, you know, how could you possibly be pessimistic when you see how dumb these people are? And my response is just that zombies are also stupid, but a horde of zombies can easily overrun a city.
Mm-hmm.
And when the zombie horde is in all of our institutions, then the foundation has corrupted to the point where it's on the verge of collapse.
Yep.
We vote in the states. We get representatives who represent us. We get a convention of states. The problem is solved. The country remains intact. The United States is saved. It really is that simple. Now, to be fair, it requires a lot of nuance and complicated process in between, but a convention of states can really solve all of these problems.
Huh.
What was it?
Like 1776 out there. Hmm. What's going on?
Yeah, big bangs outside the window. I wonder.
Exciting.
Oh, gosh.
CKCC says, 10 years? If we don't stop this crap now, then this country will be even more unrecognizable over the next decade than it has over the last year.
Hmm.
Wow. He goes on to say some other things, but let's just say he ends with, we must stand together. I really do believe in we're in fourth and fifth generational warfare.
Yes.
This means when you see January 6th, the greatest propaganda for the establishment. These people, some of them fought with cops at the front door. Some of them were let in. And I wonder, the cops let them in. And they use the footage of them inside to bolster their narrative of an insurrection. And they will use that for their new Patriot Acts, for the new NDAAs and indefinite detention provisions and all that real bad stuff.
And it was bad footage. Like, if you want to give a totalitarian regime some footage, that's lame footage to give them. That's not good excuse-making footage. I mean, the real dumb street violence stuff, if it got out of hand, would be the worst footage used against us.
Read a little bit more. Clem Everly says, Jordan Peterson issued a warning to the world. It was real and he nailed it, but I don't think it's enough. Buckle up, kids.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Michael Adkin says, in 1984, Ingsoc, the bad guys, didn't believe in objective reality. Postmodernism is effectively the same thing. I'll put it that way. Oh, man. Patrick Giles says, at what point do we organize a million-man march on Washington to stop the mandates? Let me come make sushi. I am at Sushi Florist.
Ooh.
I genuinely believe that with what we saw in Virginia, there is really, really great room for optimism. And as egregious as the actions against Veritas is, I actually think, to be fair, I got to give some room to Michael Malice. A lot of these people really, really are dumb. And with what we saw in New Jersey with the state senator, we should be optimistic that we actually are gaining a lot of important ground on this. And in fact, the actions of the FBI may be them desperately grasping at straws as they lose power. Hmm. So let's not lose sight of this. Let's make sure we keep up the pressure with these elections. Let's make sure that we vote at the local level. We primary the establishment Republicans. And in 2022, we can get in a lot of pro-America, America first, populist types. I don't mean conservative types. I mean those who care about the working class in this country. And they might be moderate. They might be somewhat progressive, just so long as they're not willing to bend the knee to Pelosi. Or, well, she might be retired, but whoever the Democratic establishment is propping up. I genuinely think they're, as bad as it is, we should operate from the perspective that their acts of desperation only prove they're panicking and they're losing. This action against Project Veritas, I think, shows how powerful Veritas is, how effective Veritas is, and this was a beyond desperate move. Like, seriously, to take this action, it's overt. Regular people can see it. And confidence in those institutions will be shattered by this. So I think it's fair to say that we're in a good direction. Let's get these establishment incumbents out. Let's get this state level election in play, because New Jersey getting a Republican state senator. Wow. Regular working class trucker guy. Let's get that convention of states. Good news. All right. Let's see. Well, I'll read this last one. Juan Castle says, Tim, can you explain what a convention of states is exactly? To put it simply, if a certain number of states decide to call a convention, the Constitution allows the Constitution to be amended. We can then actually address the levels of corruption and have a ton of power in terms of how the Constitution continues to function, what is strengthened, what is challenged, what is removed, etc. It is just the ability of the majority through the states to make changes, and powerful ones. If Congress is deadlocked, if the establishment is refusing to budge, if we can't, you know, get these things done, then at the federal level, then the states can actually, through the legislatures, make direct changes. And I think that is a path towards weeding out a lot of this corruption, because they can do a lot. They can, you know, reinforce and redeclare, you know, amendments and things like that, clarify. It's a lot of really, really good stuff. And if the states that are calling for the convention in the majority are free state, libertarian-minded individuals, we can bring back a lot of the core values of liberty, justice, respect, and this could prevent the country from collapsing. That being said, we got to go to the members-only segment where we're probably going to get really angry. So go to timcast.com, become a member, because I think we're going to end up going off, pulling up more details on this James O'Keefe thing, and I'm just going to get really mad. So again, go to timcast.com, be a member for that. It should be up around 11 or so p.m. You can follow the show at TimcastIRL. Follow me personally everywhere at TimCast. Check out my Instagram. I'm going to start posting more videos and stuff. And Daniel, you want to shout anything?
Yeah, out? Daniel Turner, Power of the Future, Daniel Turner PTF on all platforms, and always great to be with you guys. Thanks for having me.
Daniel, I owe you a shirt. With how many times you mentioned it on the show?
I would love one of those.
I'm sending you this
Please.
Shirt.
Awesome.
And if you maybe shirt. Want one, you can on the bestpoliticalshirts.com. But I think it's very fair to say we're living in very interesting times. Those times will get a lot more interesting. I break it all down on my own YouTube channel, youtube.com/wearechange. And I love having these conversations here. I love having them on my show. We're very lucky. We're very privileged. And, you know, a lot of bad things are happening, but we got to count our blessings at the same time and remember that we are one of the luckiest people in the world, and we should do everything in our power to keep it that way. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much for having me.
Looks like I went to conventionofstates.com. I don't know how legit the site is, but it says that 15 states have signed on, have applied for a convention of states so far. And I think you can follow your state through this website. I would definitely advise looking into the website before you start clicking buttons on it. So if you want to get involved, man, let's call a convention and take control of the country as we're supposed to.
Yeah.
Peace and love.
We absolutely should have a convention of states. This is something that Phil from All That Remains has been talking about a lot. Like, this has been his driving message for a really long time. I think he's right.
I will stress, too, at the very least, when you win at the state level, your state can protect your rights. Your state can
yes.
protect your liberties and all that stuff. And that's also probably the most important thing right away, that regardless of a convention of state, whether it works, if your state at the state level has good people who believe in freedom, you guys should check out New Hampshire, man. The Free State Project has been dominating. And they're making that place so. Way better.
Well, you have to keep...
Told you so.
What's that? Yeah, okay, all right, Luke, we get it. You told us that. But yeah, what happened in Virginia happened at the state level. It happened because people stood up and said, you know what, I'm tired of this. There's no way that you're going to tell me that I have no right to know what my children's being taught.
Focus on your state.
Yep.
The federal government comes after.
Yes, and anyway, you guys can follow me on Twitter at Sour Patch Lids.
We'll see you all over at TimCast.com in the member segment. Thanks for hanging out.
Bye, guys.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.